You said before that you you like a little choking.
Yeah, that could be good too.
Like, what if you're in the middle of it one time and your wife just reaches over and like slaps you in the face?
No, the slapping I'm not into. No, this is the moneymaker. You can't mess with the face.
Yeah, I don't the moneymaker.
How about if she gives you a shot in the stomach?
In my days, I may have dated a young lady who was by profession a dominatrix. Hot wax being bandied about in the genitalia area
really
is outrageous.
Ooh.
Biting to the point of drawing blood, outrageous.
How crazy did it get by the bit, like the end?
What do you mean? Well, I mean, we murdered six one day, but God, was I harder. Dominatrix. 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 Hot wax, I'm telling you. Hot wax.
I've gotten wax on my arm, and I can swear it's ripped the hair off my arm.
Her dominatrix stories are on the way.
Could she say anything now that would shock you?
Yes, one time her and Neil Diamond killed a hooker.
Reality is the strangest fantasy of all. Vanessa Redgrave, David Hemmings, and Sarah Miles in Michelangelo Antonioni's first English language film, Blow Up. At love without meaning. At murder without guilt. And the dazzle of the madness of London today, Antonioni's camera never flinches. Blow Up. A Carlo Ponti production in color.
First Fort Worth showing. Now exclusive at the Bowie Theater.
Happening with the Supremes at 8 minutes past 4 o'clock. I love every one of them, especially Diane. And she loves me.
Extremely important. You should not be aware in any way that you have clothing. Now it is possible, when you really learn to relax later, that you be able to do it standing up, sitting on an ordinary chair, lying on a couch, in any place. But in this initial part, when you're just learning the techniques, I suggest you just lie down on the floor. Select a floor that has a rug and spread.
Get the step in, Jones. Split Jack. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, help, man. Hey, wait. Bird Bell? Which one of these am I supposed to use, man? It says number 131 and ain't no 131.
Use one for yourself.
132, Jack. This little old sham I'm going to put on the people. It's 438 on the Sly Stone Show. I'm Sly. Been here for about, what, almost 2 years now? About 2 years? Almost 2 years? Huh? Two and something? You know what, man? I haven't had a vacation since I've been here.
Yes,
I haven't had one vacation, man. I take off every other day, but I ain't had a vacation.
Hi. No sex in talking it.
Welcome.
This is Mad Daddy resuming the hour. Elevator going up.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, the fantasy cavalcade of the internet. I don't know if we're the fantasy cavalcade of the internet or the fantasy cavalcade of internet radio. Whatever it may be, that's what we are. My name is Chris. I'm going to be one of your hosts this morning. Joining me in his producer's chair, wearing his fancy pants, it's our special friend, Brian.
Guten Morgen.
Joining us from his bed at home is Fred. Thanks for not showing. And look over there. It's a little bird. I don't know why. It's a bird, but it's a little bird.
No, it's a plane.
It's a key.
And I come with a big announcement today.
Uh-oh. Did David Bowie sing that announcement?
He might.
Over here.
Is it a boy or a girl?
I have an announcement. And it's really good. It's so weird because you were making like eyes at me, and I'm like, wait, so I'm supposed to make the announcement that I don't know what it is? By the way, I just noticed, sharp shirt. Nice little shirt you're wearing.
Thank you.
Nice little met-colored Fred Perry. You're a
fancy
boy.
Did you give this to me?
Hell no. I never had a blue and orange
Fred Perry. You gave me a blue and white one.
Yes, I did.
What's the emblem on it? What motto is that?
Fred Perry.
It's a Fred Perry.
What's a Fred Perry? I'm serious. What do you look at me like that for?
Nothing. It's a shirt. It's just a shirt.
It's a brand of shirt. Fred Perry was an English tennis player. He launched a clothing line. This is his story. So my big announcement is that Sly Stone has invited me to leave Best in Show Radio and join him over in San Francisco on K-Soul every Sunday morning.
Wow.
Because you hear from the people are having a tough time deciding between us, you know. Like,
well, yeah, I heard when I listened to our feed, it's weird. Even the guy who broadcasts our feed seems to want to listen to it right before the show is starting. Hey, man, good luck to you. I hope everything works out for you. And
I think that's what his message meant. He said, you got $10.
Okay, so let me get this straight. He is now doing a...
Sly Stone went to the San Francisco School of Broadcasting in the mid-60s, and before he ever formed that band or any band, he was on K-Soul, the San Francisco Soul Station, for like 2 or 3 years, maybe.
That's crazy.
Would it be considered forming a band or until he let his family start to record? Because it was his family, no?
True.
You know, I don't know if that drop was indicative of his the rest of his work, but that was really bad.
Well, Well, you know what? That right there. That right there was. But he's an on the money, on point professional 60s radio DJ the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a bunch of stuff I'll give to you.
Why Although are you making him look like a jerk.
Wait. So do you not?
I'm a shock jock.
Does that mean you're not a fan? You were never a fan of Sly and the Family
Stone? I love Sly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just I had no idea that he was a radio DJ.
Nor did I until about 6 months ago when I found, maybe 3 months ago.
I would say when you started discovering that website that had all the old radio stuff on, right, is when you told me about it. I had no idea.
And that day was when I first read about it.
Excellent. So here on Best in Show, you can get in touch with us if you so choose. I just thought I'd throw that out there if we could, not to derail the conversation about Sly and the Family Stone and his radio DJ exploits. You can get us at 877-744-6405 if you so choose. You can get us on the Instant Messenger at Best in Show Brian or Best in Show Keith. My BlackBerry is dead, so you can't get me, and you can't get Fred either. And that's it. Join us in the chat room, be part of the fun, blah, blah, blah.
I should probably sign in.
Not a bad idea.
If you're listening right now anyway, you might as well hop into the chat room.
Yeah, to be quite honest, if there's nobody that's... if you're not in the chat room, you're not cool. Basically, that's what it comes down to. We only like cool kids.
Yeah, if you're not in the chat room, turn off your computer right now. You're not invited to listen to our show.
I love cool.
You're not cool. You're not cool enough to listen to our internet radio show. Gang.
Awesome. I just saw... I was searching around MSN for something to talk about today because I have no preparation whatsoever.
Perfect.
And I noticed that on the front page on MSN.com, it says, a look at leading men, 80 stars who are riding high in Hollywood again. So the first one is Robert Downey Jr., who's kind of always had an up and down sort of thing.
How is he up? Just because he's an Iron Man? What else is he doing
now? Well, he's in a major movie, so it's up.
Iron Man right now, though, is there anything else he's doing? Because didn't he get thrown off of Ally McBeal? Is Ally McBeal even on television anymore?
No, she finally wasted away to nothing, so it's show's over.
Yeah, that's how in touch I am with the world, that I don't know if Ally McBeal is on or
not. If you're playing the lead role or the eponymous role in a summer blockbuster movie, your career is pretty much on the top. Like, it doesn't really get that. It doesn't get bigger than that.
Iron Man really has all that much heat?
Actually,
that dancing baby is actually in the Iron Man movie too, ironically, since you brought up Ally McBeal.
Yes. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, dude, I have no idea.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's the last boss.
I had no idea what
Baby Man.
I had no idea what the whole concept behind Iron Man was, like, or what its relevance was. I didn't think it was a big deal.
Heavy boots of lead.
thanks, I appreciate it. Could you change that maybe from fan to air? Because this room's starting to get hot already. Maybe
sure.
It's just me. Yeah,
how do I do?
Go up to the mode button and hit it until everything says cool. Does it say
I'm
cool?
A fan of the mode. Yes.
Yeah.
So there's Robert Downey Jr. And then the second one. Well, let me do the third one.
Oh my God! By the way, Robert Downey is actually in our chat room right now, and he just said, "Shut up."
Yeah, it's true.
It's really shameful.
Maybe I should change the subject.
I think he's a little drunk too.
Allegedly.
Number three is Patrick Dempsey, and I totally get that one because he.
Wait, Patrick Dempsey is
Buy Me Love.
That's
Love
Dr. McCool or something, right?
On Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, see, that's how I judge if people are cool. Or judge people's relevance. I figure out if my mom would know who you are, and my mom would know who Patrick Dempsey is because he's Dr. McCool. Is it Dr. McCool?
Yeah, I think it is.
No,
like that.
It's not McCool. It's McDreamy.
Oh my God, it's even worse.
Yes, it is. And he also is playing a lead role on a summer chick flick movie.
Which is right. He's got a big film now, which is, I think, what made him in...
Maid of Honor. He is a Maid of Honor.
And when I saw that on the commercial, I said, you know what?
I hate that I know this.
Patrick Dempsey is starring in a movie again. And it's been like 20 years since Patrick Dempsey starred in a movie. He was like 17 the last time he was starring.
Was the last one he was in Can't Buy Me Love?
I don't know if it was the last one he was in, but it was the last time he starred in something like, you know, like where his name meant anything. So he's a classic example.
His name meant something before he was in Can't Buy Me Love? Or does his name mean something because of Can't Buy Me Love?
Not in Can't Buy Me Love, but I think by the time like Loverboy a couple of years later, he was...
I don't even
star.
Know that Loverboy exists.
Loverboy is the one where he like is a pizza delivery guy.
I thought that was
Can't
Buy
Me Love.
See, I thought that was Mystic Pizza.
No, Mystic Pizza is scary. Mystic.
So which
pepperoni.
One? Which one is Can't Buy Me Love? I thought that was the pizza gigolo thing.
No, Can't Buy Me Love is the one where he pays the girl to date him so he'll be cool. He's like a nerd.
The thing I remember about it is his brother puts on the PBS channel when he's trying to learn the dance steps, and he does some sort of African mating.
He thinks
dance.
It's American Bandstand.
Oh, American Bandstand. So, will you ever win?
And I would also throw John Cryer in there, I guess, because he disappeared off the face of the earth and then came back. He's on a hit
TV
show.
He's another one that I didn't think appeared. He was Ducky, and then he was John Cryer's hiding out.
Me too.
And then he was on Three Men and a Baby, the TV show.
I think he's a director. Like, there's a friend of the family of mine who played, like, a bit role in some sort of...
Kind of Wonderful?
No, some movie that he directed that came out or is coming out this year.
Oh, so he's directing, too?
Yeah, exactly.
But the guy they have... they don't have John Cryer, though. They have Matt Dillon. Was Matt Dillon ever down?
Oh, God, Matt Dillon disappeared off the face of the earth.
You think?
He disappeared off the face of the earth, and then he came back when he was on There's Something About Mary. That was his big. That was his big return.
Wasn't that like 12 years ago?
Yeah, what's happened since then?
He's been.
He was in Crash. Wasn't he like nominated for an award for that movie Crash?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's right. He's been doing some like risky roles.
Risky business
in some
banging our heads for a dumb joke.
He was in I forget what the movie it was, but it was the like an autobiography of a, I think, Cuban or some...
By the way, Robert Downey Jr. has pointed out that, yes, John Cryer is a director of one episode of Two and a Half Men, stupid. That's his directing work. Wow.
Get off my case, Downey.
Are you talking about the Buena Vista Social Club movie?
No. It's there was a writer, like a hard-living, drinking and drugging writer of pulp novels in like the 50s.
And, okay.
Yeah, he did his, like,
tail end
of his life.
I'll check it out. I'll see what Matt Dillon's done. But I don't think Matt Dillon has really necessarily disappeared all that much. Not as much as Patrick Dempsey did. Patrick Dempsey, you know a movie I saw Patrick Dempsey in after he wasn't a kid anymore? There was some movie that was terrible where Joe Pesci was a homeless guy living on a Harvard campus. I wish someone would remember the name of it.
With Honor?
With Honor.
Yeah.
That's your favorite movie.
Yeah. You know what it is, man? I had the biggest crush on Moira, whatever her name is.
Moira Kelly?
Yeah, and she's in that movie.
The fake Donna Haywood, you mean?
No,
Twin Peaks fans?
I mean Moira. All right, bro, don't insult her. I loved her in that ice skating movie where she skates with the hockey dude. And they get the gold medal, goddammit.
Ironically, that guy was listed in something recently as having a comeback. Because he was on Jericho. I don't remember his name, though. DB something, or other. Sweeney, maybe?
DB Sweeney.
Yeah. Angry Brian, for some reason. Pumping his fist at the air in anger.
The Dolphins just won? He's about to start smashing things?
Can we go there, or...?
Where? The mall? I need a pair of shoes, desperately. We can go someplace here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. The disjointed madness begins. What, can we go where? To the NFL draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
just
even
quickly.
Care. I got nothing to say about it. So if you'd like to discuss it, I will sit in silence.
I had every intention of putting on my Michael Vick jersey and putting a patch that said Ryan in quarterback. In on Magic
I speak
Marco
quarterback.
Over it. And wearing it today. But the only reason I'm saying it now is because the joke is ruined. It would have had it been done today. But yeah, I'm very excited. But let's leave it at that. That was our draft show.
Yeah, all I know about the NFL draft is it happened yesterday. Or most of it did. Most
you gotta
of
the, be happy with who the Dolphins got, right?
What? They picked the number 6 or 7 pick as number 1 because they didn't want to trade down and take a chance of losing him? Yeah, that's what happened. I'm really not
who there. Who did you want?
It's not that I didn't want him. It was a bad draft year, so we don't get a sexy pick. We get an offensive lineman who's going to be... I mean, don't get me wrong, who's an investment in the team for the next 10
lineman?
Years. I mean, what?
Isn't he a defensive tackle?
No. He's an offensive lineman.
Oh, maybe Chris Long is. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's. I thought they were going to go with Chris Long, but they didn't. That's you know they went the offensive line route, and they're not going. You're not going to find too many stronger first round draft picks that are actually going to start immediately, and he'll be on the team, and he'll stay with the team for.
Isn't
you know,
that how
for
10
you
win
years.
Though by not by avoiding the flashy picks and taking?
I wouldn't know. My team hasn't won since I've been born, so I wouldn't know. Brian, what's wrong? You don't want to chime in on the
sports?
Okay, thanks.
I have no team.
Yeah, so that's
Ryan. Let's get him a team.
Yeah, well, you could have
we're all alone.
Take the Charlotte Hornets. They're your team now.
Is that really the Charlotte Hornets? Really?
I take them everywhere, but they always come back.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. So yeah, so that's sports. Who
Cooper, DB Cooper was the joke.
DB Cooper. Oh, okay. That's the name I was thinking. That's the name I always think when I think DB Sweeney or DB Cooper. Who is it? But it's DB Sweeney, star of 8 Men Out. And Jericho. Featuring Skeet Ulrich.
I'm just thinking about Dabney Coleman when you say DB. That's all I can think about. I have no idea what's going on.
There was some movie on the other day, and Dabney Coleman was in it. I can't
You don't
remember.
Say.
Oh, War Games I was watching. Brian, you must be a big War Games
I
fan,
I love
right?
War Games. There was a time when I could have regurgitated the password that that you had to type into the computer in order to get through the...
You mean
through.
Joshua?
Yes. No, the password that Joshua had
oh,
to hack
oh,
to
the,
into
it. Oh, God. You're a freak.
I was a big War Games fan, yeah.
I actually would like to see War Games now again and find out if it actually holds up. Does it?
You know, I haven't seen it in a long enough time.
It holds up for a good portion of the movie, and then it doesn't hold up anymore.
I remember sitting back at it thinking, like, I remember as a child, I was vaguely attracted to the love interest.
You know what? Ally Sheedy is gorgeous in that movie, and I'm not a fan of her at
but
all.
But listening to her talk on that movie
oh,
is
from
like,
the Brat Pack?
Yes. Okay. As a matter of fact, I sent you a text message, I think, Chris, the other night, saying Ally Sheedy's pretty cute in War Games.
She's great. She looks really good in there. But
No. Maybe it was not a text message. I'm sorry. An instant message.
Damn it. I'm busy looking on my phone for this message.
For proof?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Go ahead, Brian.
She's so grating in that movie. It's just you want to rip out your ears and put them. It's just she's really bad in the movie. It's horrifying.
You know what annoys me about the movie is that. Were you going to say something? You got a big smile on your face earlier.
Oh no. I was just going to comment about Robert Downey in the chat room, who's still here hanging out during the show, talking about how War Games has a great commentary track if you get the DVD that actually has like the I guess it's the director's commentary.
Yeah, who directed it?
I'm going to say Robert Zemeckis, just because I don't know.
That's a good guess,
no,
though.
No, it's a bigger... Is it Spielberg?
Isn't it Spielberg?
Someone.
The director
it Spielberg.
Of Saturday Night Fever, who is not
Danny
Robert
Terrio?
Zemeckis. Yes.
Yeah, but you know why? John Badham. Okay. I know that name. But the reason it doesn't hold up is because you got to remember that, like, the computers they're using, you know, the green screen, you know, the NORAD using green screened.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that that's like saying, like, hey, if I watch Ben-Hur today and I see guys in chariots, like, that's stupid. We have cars now, you know?
But it's not even a matter of, I don't think it's a matter
it's
of.
Dated.
It's not a matter of it being dated. I think it's a matter of they were able to fool us more back then because nobody knew anything about computers, whereas I'm pretty sure the computers that, like, the Defense Department would be using would be a lot more advanced than, you know.
Well, you don't think you could just plug a phone into two plungers and somehow dial your way into it from home while you're trying to play chess?
And I love that this guy created...
Was that Mopper? Or Moper? Or whatever the name of the computer was?
Oh, I don't remember.
You see, your level of knowledge of what's going on in War Games is a little bit scary.
Now it's vague. Like, little flashes are kind of coming in my head, and I'm misspelling it. I'm transposing information.
It's the thing that was killing me was that the guy that created this thing that could actually, you know, destroy the Earth, it's Zyrtec. The guy that created this thing that could actually destroy the Earth, the password that, the impossible to guess password that he gave was his son's first name.
Yeah. And not even with like a numeral in replacement.
Yeah, just Joshua. And Matthew Broderick, I guess the line they threw in to make that believable is, it can't be that simple. No, it can't. You're right.
My password for everything is change me. Change me. Get it, change me.
Mine is password 1.
Sick.
How'd you know about the sick part?
So, speaking of, as long as we're talking about passwords, I just got to talk about now. I mean, now seems as good a time as any. I don't want to distract you guys from War Games, but the most important thing that is going on in my life right now, the all-consuming, all-obsessive, insane thing that's going on right now, is a lovely little website and a lovely little... I guess social database.
I'm just imagining the message board after you say this, waiting for the welcome to 2004.
Yeah.
And it's me as well because you only got me on.
I am obsessed with Facebook. 2008, April of 2008. I am now obsessed with Facebook. Specifically, not Facebook itself, because I'm not trying to like hang out and like socialize the way I should. Actually, the reason I started my Facebook account. For the record, why you don't consider it socializing on the web?
No, I'm laughing about what you were about to tell that
the reason I started Facebook was to start a Best in Show radio group on Facebook, just as a way to publicize this show. You know, another way to start publicizing the show, do what we can to get the word out there. Within, I guess, a week of joining, our buddy Vito, who's in the chat room, has introduced me to the wonderful world of Facebook Wrestler. And this is now my obsession. that I am obsessed with this stupid game that is just about, you know, a really advanced game of rock, paper, scissors that happens online.
Exactly. That was the perfect explanation of it, because that's exactly what it is.
As Vanessa's pointing out in the chat room, she too is obsessed with it because she beat me twice and now I won't fight her anymore. She hasn't challenged me. I'd be more than happy to challenge her. But the thing is, I'm not so sure that Vanessa's actually in my league anymore. As I point out,
she's not in your league.
That I am
out of your league.
Yeah. No, but I mean literally in my league, because I wrestle in the New York group, and she's not in the New York group. No, I am now ranked number 73 in New York, as my record has climbed, and I'm taking on the world. I'm taking all comers. So please bring it on to Jack Swade as I play wrestler obsessively on Facebook. I got Keith into it. I got him to join.
I think we have Vito to thank for that one, actually, if I recall correctly, to give credit where credit's due. He's the one who said again? Vito in our forum actually said, hey, you guys should come over and play this silly game.
Were you listening 30 seconds ago when I said that Vito introduced me to the game?
I was listening to War Games audio drops. I'm sorry.
And by listening to War Games audio drops, he was just playing them over in his head.
Now Vanessa actually has to call out her ranking that she's better than me. Hey, buddy, I'm ready to play with you. Whenever you want to go, I got a chance. I'll take you down. I've learned bear hug, you're in trouble. It's my new move.
Would you like to play a game?
Wow, this is really creepy.
I'll tell you what,
Fred, I'd rather hear from Fred right now from his bed than that.
I know the thing that freaked me out about Facebook when I first joined is like
you have to use your real name.
Oh no, not even that. All of a sudden, you look like such a serial killer when you said that. Eyes bulging all wide. You have to use your real name.
Maybe I'll learn what your real name is.
But anyway, look, I'm getting a Facebook chat message right now.
Oh, thank God.
From my buddy Pickle. But what I noticed is that somebody said that somebody bid on me, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And, like, people are trying to own people, and I gotta say, speaking of Vanessa, she is obsessed with buying people. Like, I think Vanessa owns 45 people right
okay,
now, whatever
this,
that means.
Let's take this to the next step. So, Facebook Wrestler was the first thing. That's the thing that hooked me into the whole concept of Facebook applications. Like, of, you know, playing these silly little games. Like I said, it's MySpace with games. So the games are much cooler than hearing people's favorite songs on MySpace. So the first one being, obviously, Wrestler, rank 73 in New York, what's up? The second one is what Keith just alluded to, is Owned. And Owned is you basically buy pictures of your friends and other people buy them back. And it's almost like a fake little stock market that you do where there's everything has a monetary value on it. I'm ranked number 3 amongst my friends. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, Vanessa's ranked number 2. And
wow.
And some girl who I barely know, but I know through the Ron and Fed show, is number 1.
Could I do that without putting my photo up there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Keith, for the longest time, had a question mark as his photo. And I was selling, for the record, Keith's question mark photo sold for like $50,000.
And then as soon as I put my picture up, no one wanted to buy it.
No one wants to buy it anymore. Yeah, I just, oh man, yeah, Vanessa's number 1 on her own list in both owning and in value. It's just this, like I said, and I know this is where we're so pigeonholing what we're talking about here, but this is a thing that I'm obsessed with, and I suggest everyone get involved in Facebook Wrestler. My other new thing, Facebook Mob Wars, where you're a mobster and you're running around killing people and doing jobs. Speaking of, I really have time to go do a jewelry store robbery right now.
What are you talking about? I'm not doing one right now.
Login is me. I need to do a jewelry store robbery.
The face one where you're trading photos, is there like naked stuff on there? Like
I had not seen naked stuff on it until this morning.
Oh, okay.
For the first time I saw nudes this morning. I'm going to assume that that's going to be a violation of their terms of service, and the person who's selling them and anyone who's associated with it will probably get in trouble.
See, I was thinking that would be a good way to sort of, I guess,
see naked
inspire. Inspire some sort of price bidding wars on your my nude space.
Nude space, exactly.
Yeah, that's the idea. Is trade on that sort of stock kind of thing to inspire people to make more nude pictures of themselves.
I guess that could work. We could tie that into this thing that I'm never going to do.
What's it called again?
Nude space.
No. The application on,
owned because I own you.
Owned
when it comes up, you
space.
Said I own.
Nude own space.
Oh, and one of our best in show friends. Can I say a name?
Say first name, maybe first.
Graham, maybe. Maybe it's somebody
apparently
that doesn't know
say
us
your name.
Because it's somebody I don't know. But they actually invited me to this other thing, but I have to add this application saying something about like how popular are you, and I just don't know if I can bring myself to add that one.
Yeah, I don't know who...
You know,
who,
I think that's crossing the line.
I don't know who Graham is. I have no idea who that person is. They're not my friend. They're just your friend.
And speaking of violation, term violations and naked pictures, apparently there's some kind of picture going around the internet of me that I never authorized to be released.
So, in closing, Facebook, good, join it, be our friend. We'll put stuff on our website about it so you can be part of it. On our website, bestinshowradio.com, which links to all sorts of magical things on the internet, like our home base where we do radio stuff, Hear Us Talk, where you're listening to us right now, hearustalk.com. And in the other place, when you go over to hearustalk.com, you go to the forum over there, which is now competing strongly with the Best in Show forum as a place to hang out and just be a party person. If you go to the Best in Show section of the Hear Us Talk forum, you'll understand the thread that Keith was just alluding to. I've now used the word alluding twice this show. If I use it again, please ring the bell. Hearustalk.com/forum. There is a thread that involves some sexy pictures of the members of Best in Show. Sexy, alluring, dirty. And my favorite dirty picture of them all was when I came home on, I guess it was Wednesday night or Thursday night, I come home and find a picture of Keith with his boxers half down and the most seductive come-hither look on his face as he stood in his shower half-clothed. And it's just the most disturbing thing in the
See,
world.
See, is that your shower? Knowing that your shower is also kind of in the same room as your toilet in that tiny little bathroom.
No, that was actually the doorway to that room, to that second part of the bathroom.
Right, but you were coming out of that.
No,
Were you showering or crapping?
I'll draw back the curtain. What I was doing was taking off my pants and saying to my wife, here, take a picture of me to put up on the forum.
Sexy.
Oh, you could have stretched this out a little bit.
It was very arousing. It was very erotic. And
so you wanted it to be like a court kind of picture, like paparazzi, like my wife is the paparazzi and she caught me coming out of the shower type of deal?
Yeah, then somehow you posted it.
And then, yeah. And it was unauthorized.
I sure hope nobody sees this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, back to the unauthorized part. So there's this filthy picture of Keith, like where it's basically double penetration and just all sorts of rotten things happening. And so he posts it, it gets posted by the paparazzo via what was it, Photo Bucket? I've never used Photo Bucket.
Photo Bucket, yeah.
Yeah, Photo Bucket on our forum.
You should put that up on Owned. I bet you that people would pay a pretty penny for that bad boy.
But who?
precisely.
SmokingHunks.com. SmokingHunks.com. So, as per Photo Bucket.
ShoweringFatties.org.
So per Photo Bucket, after within, I guess, a couple of hours of this getting posted, and obviously it getting tons and tons and tons of hits that someone would actually have to take a look and say, oh my God, what is this thing? They find a picture of Keith there that he is not exposing anything other than his stomach and
I think that's what did it.
And the seductive look in his eyes. Like, you don't see any of his business. You don't even see his buttocks. Like, there's nothing filthy, per se, in the picture. Photo Bucket said it violated their terms of service and immediately pulled the picture down. And which is it's
crazy.
It's a little nuts to me because it's not. I mean, how? What?
I'm pretty sure that people naked. Have naked pictures on Photo Bucket.
Yeah, you got to be naked in order for something to be bad, I guess. And it's not bad, but in order for something to be a violation of like what should be something that you could look at for free.
Yeah, but I mean, he's right. I think there are naked and acceptably naked, not banned pictures on Facebook.
And here's the interesting thing.
Are they of attractive people, though? Is that the reason why they're allowed?
That's what I'm wondering, yeah. Or women, I think, is really what it is.
It was a public thing, too, so that I said, you know what? Maybe I don't necessarily need to be inviting this picture to be all over the internet, per se, right now. So what I did is I set it to private. As soon as I set it to private, that's when it got the violation.
Weird.
Maybe Photo Bucket looks at all the pictures that are set to private to make sure people are not setting them to private for a reason. But in that case, it's private. So what's the difference?
I wonder if someone just complains about it. Like if someone submits a complaint, if they just their
Eric Ryan
reaction is take it off.
Eric Ryan started complaining immediately.
He wants to keep his dinner
down. Yeah, the thing is, I don't understand why. From what Brian was just suggesting, though, there are some photos that are accepted and known to be nude, and it's accepted.
Like meaning tags of nude and naked.
Oh, but is it accepted, or is it just that they're not paid attention to?
I think there are tags to it. Like, you can tag this photo with nude, and it's a searchable nude database. You can
go out
there.
I'm nude!
Or naked, or boobs. I don't know why they wouldn't. It's
I wouldn't tag it with anything but nude. That's my favorite thing in the world.
Except with three U's.
N-E-W, actually. Yeah, so for whatever reason, I guess, a man with his shirt off is somehow obscene now. Ladies are allowed to walk around topless in Manhattan if they want to, but Keith can't have his shirt off.
I am sick of the man. Yeah, I'm sick of it.
Holding us down. Let those FCC breasts fly.
This damn FCC.
Yeah, it's, you know, but it did shock me. It did come off as a little weird. That was the case. But luckily for all of you out there, I know
the picture shocked you. It was a shocking picture.
By the way, Robert Downey is asking now in the chat room where the shot of us touching our fat, awful stomachs is, and why is that not on the
right issue? Behind Brian's head.
It's right up here.
I guess by using the Pal Talk camera and showing it to Pal Talk, I'm not helping anyone in the Heroes Talk room, so I'm going to focus it back on Keith. Yeah, you need to go over to Pal Talk to be a part of that and enjoy it. The Pal Talk room that is packed with me and just about nobody else.
Was I in there?
Because yeah, for like 4 seconds. I wanted to chat with you. I was going to ask you if you wanted to cyber. I was going to ask you ASL, you know, all the good stuff.
My computer just decided to shut down Pal Talk for some reason, so I'll try to find it again, and I'll join all of you, Chris.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, oh, we'll talk. We could have a little private conversations. I'll put the camera down my trousers, and you won't. It'll be filthy. It won't be banned from photo. It'll be banned from Photo Bucket, but it won't be banned from Pal Talk as we fiddle about and around and do what it is that we do.
Maybe for bandwidth purposes, I won't even go in there. Although it doesn't matter, does it?
Bandwidth purposes was the explanation of what they did for your picture over at Photo Bucket.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that new project of Bono, Rage Against the Machine, Band with Purposes.
Oh man, I love those guys. But it's actually parentheses though with purposes, right?
Right. It's like Band Aid, but.
That's what my people...
Do they know it's Christmas?
I couldn't remember what they were...
Not before. Do they know it's Christmas 06 or 07, whatever that was called, when they redid it with, like, rap, but the original one.
They didn't rap. They didn't...
Oh, Bob Geldof got English rappers on the new one. It was terrible.
Wait, wow. But didn't... I thought American dudes did that, too.
No, it's We Are the World.
No, recently they did it with, like, Alicia Keys... And like the guys from NSYNC or something. Somebody help
they
us did, out.
Do they
the
know
room.
It's Christmas?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, really? Maybe.
I could be totally wrong, though. There was some sort of something, like, I think, like, I want to say, like, The Gap and that whole Red campaign was affiliated with it.
Alicia Keys has lost her mind, by the way. Have you heard about that?
I wasn't even aware that she had.
Said, oh, what's going
she
on?
She said that on her website that gangster rap was implemented by the government to drag the black community down.
Great.
But it's good, though. It sounds good.
That's why Eazy-E was always going to those dinners with the first President Bush.
Yeah, I didn't... I'm not a big fan of Alicia Keys just doing anything, being alive.
Even looks-wise?
She's hideous.
Yeah, you think so?
She's a hideous bottom-heavy freak. Have you ever seen her...
Bottom-heavy? Does that mean she's got a big ass? Is that what you're saying?
No,
I just think
no,
you work for the government.
I mean, from her ribs down to her ankles are probably 620 pounds, and from her bosom to her head are about 20 pounds. I'm telling you, if you've ever seen her in some sort of her more risque, salty gear, which it's out there. That stuff's out there. You got to find the imagery of it. I'm trying to think, like, maybe... like the Grammys or something, she did it, and she tried to do like a dance number, and she's not really a dance girl, she's usually a sit behind the piano and, right. and croon girl, and she came out wearing like some sort of bike pants or something, and it was just horrific. Yes. It was tremendous and cottage cheesy, and it looked worse than that Photo Bucket picture of Keith that I've seen. I'll go that far,
pretty top heavy in my opinion.
The bottom heavy freaks were on the last Lollapalooza with the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh man, those guys are awesome though. They're on the Judgment Night soundtrack, right? They like did it together at the same time.
No, that's Judgment Night 2 with Patrick Dempsey.
Electric Boogaloo.
What about Norah Jones?
Yo, what do you mean? Like, do you think she's
yo, what's up?
Do you think she's attractive, or are you saying something else about her?
Do you think she's attractive?
I don't even remember what she looks like. But I know that she looks good in the new thing that she's doing. She's in some band called, like, Madmo or something now, which I just discovered yesterday. I swear to God. It's called... Madmo, I think is what it is. And they build it as being like a punk rock band, a crazy punk rock band, but it's just like Norah Jones music, whatever that is.
El Madmo?
El Madmo.
El Homo, maybe? Sounds really bad. Sorry. That doesn't sound good.
Was that the shocking way of saying that it was bad, by saying homo?
Yeah, that's bad. Exactly.
Yeah, it was... I didn't personally enjoy it, but she looked attractive. And like I said, they're dressed as superheroes. That's the thing. They're people dressed as superheroes playing music.
Oh, she's got the little blonde wig and the mask on. Yeah,
she looks attractive like that. But I don't know what she.
When she opens her mouth, she has the same mouth
teeth?
As. Well, yeah, that's the problem. The teeth are very very prominent, very similar to Rosario Dawson.
I don't think Rosario Dawson's problem is her teeth per se. I think it's just her whole face is very horsey.
No, she's got no problems. She's an attractive woman.
You know what? I've really swung a little more to Brian's side on this. When I saw Clerks 2, for some reason I found her attractive. But I say when I saw Clerks 2, I mean when I switched the station and I saw her in it, because I never actually watched it.
How about the 25th Hour with that crazy silver dress she was wearing?
I think you made that movie up.
No, I didn't.
You guys can enjoy yourself as much as you want. You could be fond of an unattractive girl. I'm not gonna hold it against you.
She was really good at war games.
Sure a lot.
Whopper. Whopper, not Moper. Whopper. It was the name of the artificial intelligence.
Oh, right. Mad
computer.
Moper is Rosario Dawson's new band.
Whopper. W-O-P-R, I think.
But anyway, I don't know. Yeah. So, Norah Jones, Ravi Shankar. Show,
Rosario Dawson, loving it live.
She loved it live.
That was really good and quick and poignant that I played that really low in the background.
Ooh, the Freedom Bible Church on Ustream actually has a live
That's the main thing that happens on Ustream on Sunday mornings. Other than us, it's basically all
that's
churches.
Why our numbers are so low. We're competing against
we're
God.
We're fighting against Jesus.
I don't know why I just looked at this and said, wow, these guys have a live video. it didn't occur to me. Yes, so do you, idiot. Great.
Fighting against Jesus. Best in show radio. Fighting against Jesus? I'm trying to think there's some sort of marketing thing in there.
We're number two, just below Jesus.
Fighting Jesus for your attention on Sundays?
How about we're the third coming?
Ew. Oh, you mean with an O. Sorry, I was being gross. Awesome. So, so I've discovered this whole thing, Madmo, with Norah Jones, who's attractive, I guess, with blonde hair, but the band is bad. My wife actually turned me on as I go more into discovering things on the internet that I don't know, I should have known for 100 years. Are you guys familiar with Pandora?
She opened the box.
You're familiar with Pandora?
I don't know what Pandora is. No.
Pandora is a website where you go and you type in like the name of a band you like. And then all of a sudden they just start playing songs by that band and bands similar to that band to turn you on to new people.
I remember Pandora.
Well, yeah, so this was somehow...
Pandora, I believe, is like a college project, college science project.
Just like Napster, just like Facebook, like everything cool on the internet.
What, did
just like
that
dancing
way?
Baby on Hallie McBeal.
Just like Calista Flockhart.
Oh, man. But, I used Pandora for the first time yesterday. Our buddy The Hutch actually was talking about it at work this week, that he's obsessed with Pandora. He's been listening to Modest... He puts Modest Mouse in and discovered, like, a million indie bands that he'd never heard of before.
I thought Modern English he put it in.
So, does it link it to, hey, this sounds kind of like this band?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or these were members of this band and vice versa.
I didn't go that far into it. I listened for like an hour maybe before my dad came by last night. It was really it was exciting. I typed in Pavement and got all sorts of good stuff, and then I put in Ingrid Michaelson for my daughter, and we were sitting here listening to folky girl music. It was a lot of fun.
Your daughter's a fan of Staten Island artists.
Yeah, my daughter is a tremendous fan of folky females, and Ingrid Michaelson happens to be one of those, and it worked out kind of nice. Actually, I think she's on Patrick Dempsey's front page too. On MySpace.
Ingrid Michaelson?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm confused about who I'm saying, but yes.
Okay.
There's some, for some reason. I'm going to go as inside as I possibly can right now. On Ingrid Michaelson's MySpace page, she talks about how she's excited that she was the MySpace front page music for somebody, and I thought it was Patrick Dempsey, but I think it might be the guy from Scrubs, which is my, so I guess it's not really
Zach,
the same thing.
Zach.
Zach Graff.
That's his name? Okay.
Zach LaRocca.
No, isn't there another guy named Zach that's like a comedian or something?
Zach the Whack! Z100!
No, it's Zachary. Yes. Oh, Zach Galifianakis, I think.
Enius, our buddy in the chat, I was talking about that Pandora is the Genome Project. And
That's it. The Music Genome Project.
Oh, really? I didn't know there was a music genome. I thought he was actually talking about the Human Genome Project.
No. It's the Music Genome Project.
And as he says in the chat, he just likes saying genome as well.
I like saying his name. I always thought it was Anus.
No, it's Enius. Enius is his name, bro. Come on, don't diss. Don't diss my guild on Warcraft. I love my people.
Is it really Enius? I actually think it's Aeneas. No, am I wrong?
You're wrong. All right. It's okay.
So they could.
It's group, the Odyssey thing.
So they could group music, forgetting about like if the band's dressed similar or had a song featured in the same movie.
Genome. Bro.
But for that matter, even Amazon, when it says you might like these artists, pretty much sticks to what they sound like. I would think right now, maybe not. That's true. I think they strictly go by what people bought similar and
yeah, I don't know what they're using to attach things together. I guess Amazon would be people who bought it, but
see, I go to allmusic.com, the All Music Guide, which is kind of like IMDb for music, and they link up things like that as well, except they give you, at best, you get like maybe 5-second samples of one song here and there. Right. You don't get the whole thing.
And sometimes it's the opening of a song that has like 25 seconds of quiet note.
But you get a biography of the band. It tells you like who they were members of, and it tells you what they were sounding like, and it gives you a list of tags of the type of music that it is and what kind of emotions they're intended to inspire. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, and they give you the discography.
What kind of emotions?
I swear to God.
This will make you feel sad.
They do that, yeah.
Do you have nights where, like, I know a lot of nights if you listen to music or whatever, times, I should say, you'll be just wanting to listen to stuff that you like, but, like, do you ever find a certain night all of a sudden is a night when you just want to,
listen to stuff that you hate?
Yes. To find stuff that you've never heard before. Like, I always go in phases. Yeah. I'll always have a big night, you know, and that's what, our friend John brought up e-music this week. emusic.com, and he brought up how emusic just put the entire Rolling Stones catalog on there. Mm-hmm. And the reason I use emusic is because I love searching through there and finding things that I probably may not have ever been able to find. Like you know, there's obscure things. I'm not necessarily going to find... I think the most popular thing I ever got from there was the singer from Pavement's album, his most recent album.
Well, that's really weird, because when I was on Pandora last night, I was listening to Steve Malkmus's most recent record.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but I did get that.
It was pretty cool. It was really cool.
And a guy that my wife likes named Jeremy Enoch. I forgot what band he's from. Maybe I think it's Sunny Day Real Estate.
I think it's pronounced Enoch.
Oh, is it?
No.
You're such a jerk. Yeah, but anyway, but that's why I like e-music. But e-music, the thing that annoys the hell out of me about e-music is that...
E-music's one of the ones you got to pay for?
You pay a certain amount...
I'm officially done with that.
You pay a certain amount a month. And, you see, I've been paying for a lot of music, especially when I'm trying to find music for something I'm doing for this show. I don't have time to wait to illegally download it from someone.
No, I'm not suggesting illegal. Anyway. Pandora.com. Just if it comes on eventually, then I'll use it. Then I'll set my tape recorder on the desk and hit record on it.
So, give that a shot. That sounds great.
Yeah, so what? But I know. But sometimes I'll purchase the songs. But eMusic and iTunes have a similar problem, especially eMusic. That, like, if there's, say, a 60s singer, name a 60s singer.
Sly.
No, not him. Tom Jones, say. Let's say Tom Jones.
Okay, you're racist.
Guessing this, but yes, I wanted a white guy. But Tom Jones, if you say you want to download a certain Tom Jones song from 1967, there's a good chance if you click on that person's album of greatest hits, it's them singing it from like 2 years ago. It's that whole re-recording the golden oldies things because it's cheaper to sell that than it is to sell the actual original recordings that the record companies own.
I had no idea that they re-recorded stuff like that.
You'd be amazed at how many 60s, especially if it's like one of the Motown artists. It's the same thing if you go to, like, say, a store.
When I'm buying the Jackson 5 stuff right now, is that them re-recording it?
I bet you it's not cheaper to record or to find it. It's probably just, like, it happens to be easier. It's the greatest hits
baby,
album.
Oh, baby, give me one more chance.
And it's easier for them to find a greatest hits album, and it's been linked that way.
But I think it's easier for them to sell a greatest hits album that isn't a big mass marketed thing as opposed to selling a great, you know what I mean? Like, it's the greatest hits album that they're not stocking in stores anymore because nobody cares. It's got to be something about being cheaper. Because, like, the Temptations, the Four Tops, if you see their CDs in a store for $3.99, maybe now that CDs aren't expensive anymore, it's different, but in the past, it was definitely them singing it like 2 years ago or something.
Well, it's, if it's greatest hits, I can understand because, you know, the people just want to get, hey, here's an old band. I want to get all their songs that I remember. Right. So it's all the singles and stuff. And I guess it's just that the next leap is, hey, we can sell another record if we go out and rehash all these songs.
Exactly.
That should be called the greatest re-hits.
That's part of the Music Renome project.
We're going to start that one. Yeah, I don't.
The greatest misses.
Yeah, I never knew.
Is it the Eagles or something like that?
Anything that the Eagles ever did kills me. Yeah. I hate them more than anything in the entire world.
Well, I guess hell froze over. Do you not understand that?
I get it.
All
right. I was waiting
is that an Eagles joke of some sort?
Hell Freezes Over is the name of one of their albums.
Oh, they're the best. I love them. Yeah, I don't
know the story behind the title. Of the name. Whoa, you don't want to talk about Eagles?
No. You guys, I want you guys to do a half hour of Eagles talk. I'm just going to go into the other room and bang my face into the wall. Was this the quick moment where you're going to start playing Hotel California in the background for
they
me?
They said they'd never get to get they'd never get together. Well, they were breaking up, if I recall. We're not going to get together. They'll get together when hell freezes over. And then eventually they did get back together, so they made an album called...
That's really brilliant.
Yeah,
those guys are really weird. By the way, Hot Rod 409 in the Pal Talk Room is suggesting to me that Hotel California rocks. I think Hotel California might be the worst thing that ever happened to the world. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the warm smell of Kalidas, just like the best guy. Just like the,
hey,
as much
come on.
As the
it's a
guy.
Family show.
Kalidas, no, Kalidas Flockhart. That's what I'm talking about from Ally McBeal. Yeah, it's so not worth you looking for the Eagles
don't
anymore.
Play the Eagles.
It wasn't the Eagles I was looking for, but I'm just a little angry now because when I put something on my iPod and it says it got on the iPod, I would like to believe that it's actually there and it's not just
You know what? I'd prefer it if you would just sit in a chair and actually talk in your microphone like a person.
You said that there's nothing worse than the Eagles to you?
If this turns out to be Creedence, I'm going to be really mad.
Why would it be Creedence? That sounds like Creedence to you?
No, but those are the only things... That's probably the only thing I hate just as much as the Eagles.
Come on, man. I had a rough night, and I effing hate
really?
The Eagles.
Nah, this ain't Creedence or the Eagles.
Man.
Taking my headphones off, yeah.
Like that band. I'm sorry.
Well, you like Creedence?
I like Creedence.
You know what I don't like about them? That song's a perfect example just now. I can't take his voice. I can't take the way he sings.
I kind of enjoy his voice. It seems a little the southern stuff seems a little affected sometimes.
Like in a song like that, he needed to tone it down. You know, yeah. But you know, it's all right. They're okay.
Yeah,
I'll never listen to them. But
Creedence is the worst, followed closely by the Eagles, and immediately.
I'm sorry to do that while you're talking, but I don't know if this is something bad.
I have no idea what it is.
What that could even be, because I got a warning before. All right, we'll see.
Yeah, I have no
idea.
Let's go for it. Oh, good, yeah. Just start installing things when they pop up on your computer. That's what I suggest. Yeah, Creedence is the worst thing ever, followed closely by the Eagles, and right after that is Billy Joel. Those may be the three worst. And you know what? And Meatloaf is right behind that. So those are the four worst things that happened to music ever.
Not a big Eagles fan. I'm with you on Billy Joel, man, except I'd put him up there towards the top.
I actually was having a conversation with people in the in one of the Pal Talk rooms, of Ron and Fez Pal Talk rooms this week, and I don't know how Billy Joel came up. And the whole thing is, if someone is... That should be the temperature. That's the barometer. That's the way that you find out. If someone cares...
The litmus test.
Yeah, the litmus test. Perfect. If someone cares at all about Billy Joel in any way, shape, or form, other than to hear that he died, you probably shouldn't have to talk to me. If there's anything that you have to say and you care about Billy Joel, I probably don't need to hear
it. I hate Billy Joel.
I saw Billy Joel live.
I hate Billy Joel.
Just trying to get out of the rest of the show.
I hate Billy Joel, and I really like Under Pressure? No, Pressure.
The song Pressure.
Pressure, that's it.
I actually like that song.
I like
too.
That song. It's the only Billy Joel song.
It's
kind of
like his new
enjoy.
Wave song, you know? Like.
Yeah, I don't even know anything about it.
Okay, here it comes.
Please don't put it on. Please don't put it on.
Please put it on.
Don't we have a satellite uplink to get to or something else that could distract us from you playing bad Billy Joel music?
But I disagree with you if you think Meatloaf is worse than Creedence. If you think...
Yeah,
no, if
nuts.
You think Meatloaf isn't worse than Creedence.
Well, they're the same. They're in the same thing.
No.
I'm not ranking.
Dude,
I'm not
Meatloaf. Come
I'm
on.
Not ranking them really. Creedence is the worst ever.
Sorry. Hello,
I don't understand why the goal of the show today has been to play bad music. Is this where we're at now?
It's not bad. Wait until the synthesizer comes in.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for it. Yeah, could you please stop this now?
Oh, this is great.
No, really, could you stop this now, though?
Save it for the outro music, Brian.
I don't know why I have to beg. Please stop this. We're not a music show, and we should be playing bad music on top of it.
We're not a music show.
Holy
That's
crap.
Where you went. We're not a music show.
I'm sorry. I just had to get that.
I'm actually winded right now. I'm actually hurt and agonizing.
I think that's more to do with the lifestyle than it is the song.
What lifestyle? What lifestyle am I doing? I'm a guy. I'm just a person who's sitting, hanging out, living a normal life. This is, I swear to Christ, this is what Billy Joel does to me. This makes me so angry as hell.
That would have been the perfect heart monitor test. If we
Brian,
do up to
stop
that,
playing
play Billy Joel.
Stop playing it or Chris is going to have a heart attack.
You ought to know by now. strangely enough,
hey man, I didn't start the fire. Okay.
Strangely enough, the first record I ever owned in my entire life was "Men at Work, Men at Work." But the second record I ever owned in my life was "Glass Houses" by Billy Joel. Maybe I got touched by an uncle during that, and maybe that's why I don't like Billy Joel. Maybe that's what it is.
He's wearing tight jeans on the cover of that.
He's tight jeans. He's holding a brick in his hand because he's about to throw it through the glass house.
Isn't that the one with that?
Maybe I could wear some old sidewinders and back to the edge and jive. Yeah, he's the best. Forget it. I take it back. Put Billy Joel back on. Let's enjoy ourselves today. Let's really have a great, great day today. Oh, my God. And then my third album I ever owned, 52nd Street. Yeah, I was a big Billy Joel fan when I was a kid. I'm convinced that maybe something really bad happened to me.
People who live in glass houses should not be throwing stones.
Yeah, you know what it is? I guess maybe even those two records wouldn't bother me. It's any of the stuff that would get sung in a bar when people are drunk at the end of the night. That would
sing
make
us a song at the piano.
I was gonna say, so you mean Piano Man?
No, because something song from an Italian restaurant I've heard in bars and people singing
is that
the one
at night. I was just whistling.
No,
that's The Stranger. See, The Stranger is a good song. I'm sorry.
I think the Italian restaurant is my girlfriend's favorite song.
Yeah,
in the
you
world.
Should honestly break up.
Oh,
with her.
It kills me. It kills me. That kills.
At least
me.
You didn't say kill her.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine just wanting to hang out and listen. Hey, man, do me a favor, bro. Throw on the Piano Man, bro.
When I learned that, it was in the middle of one of my anti-Billy Joel diatribes, and she's like, yeah, I really like songs from Italian Restaurant or whatever it's called.
Oh, no. Hot Rod in the Pal Talk Room is also talking about how Meatloaf, Bat Outta Hell, is great. I used to have a girlfriend I used to date that always used to love putting on Bat Outta Hell.
One thing I'll say for Meatloaf, I think he's a genius. Because I think
he's recorded one record and he's still making money off it today.
And you know what? I think he was a genius when he wrote Paradise by the Dashboard Light, because he had to know that was going to be like such a moneymaker, that entire song. From the subject matter just to the... he's a genius in that way. And he got a part in Fight Club because of it.
Yeah, I don't really think there's anything...
I'm not saying he's a great, talented guy, because he drives me crazy, his music, but I think I got to hand it to him on that one.
I'm not going to... I can't say concretely right now if I 100% if I agree with you. Let me sleep on it, baby. Let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning. Yeah, I can't stand him. Like I said, Billy Joel is probably worse, though.
They made a commercial about that recently.
With his son,
capitalizing
right?
It. I don't know if that's really his son.
I think it is.
But it's
yeah.
His son in the
commercial, right?
He's like asking for like a GoPro,
a cell phone,
and his father responds with, "Let me sleep on it." And then the wife comes through into the garage, and she's like,
"He has to know right now."
Yeah, yeah. He's got to know right now.
See, like, genius. He's still making money off it.
She's got the laundry basket in her hand. She's going to start like putting.
Okay, someone's ability to make money continually makes them a genius.
Yes, if he's doing it, if he writes one song and he's set for life.
Like, should I go to, like, you know, my CEO at my company and be like, man, you're a genius. You're really a genius.
Well, just, all right. He didn't cure a disease type of genius.
Yeah, I would reserve genius.
And I wouldn't even say autistic genius, but I would say financial genius.
See,
in a different kind of way.
I would reserve the term genius for some sort of artistic pursuit. That's just me.
Like when I say like
music,
when I always say David Bowie is a genius, I'm not putting.
Yeah, but he's saying that Meatloaf is not a genius because of his music. I'm saying I wouldn't call him a genius because it's not an artistic pursuit.
So I'm loosely using the word genius now.
He's a fiscal superstar. I'll give you that. He's a financial maven.
He's a Renaissance man too. He's an actor.
Well, I will give you that. You know what? I did think he was good in Fight Club. I think he's a good actor.
No, I've seen him act. He's not a bad actor. But it's acting, you know.
Acting.
Jesus, Fred's an actor.
It's acting. I remember...
I'll love that guy to the end of time.
He's Fred.
I'm a tremendous fan of all things that Meatloaf and Billy Joel have all done. Hey, let's play a little Billy Joel. Some more Billy Joel. You have any more Billy Joel queued up on there that we can play?
No, do you?
Yeah, hold on. That was so smooth, bro. People had no idea what we were doing. It's sick. Good thing we have the mics off. Crap, I have to sing again. Hey Donna, Billy Joel is your best friend. He saw the picture of you in your rear end. What? What did it say? It rhymed, right? Hello?
My favorite part about the picture thread is that my pictures on PhotoBucket were not violating.
Wait, yours were PhotoBuckets too?
Yeah. And there's actual boobs in mine.
Real live boobs.
Well, there were real live boobs in mine too, to be fair.
One big one.
Possibly bigger than the girls that I posted.
Oh, jeez.
As you pointed out, Chris, I blocked out my own ninnies.
Yeah, you did block out your own ninnies, but put on some left your submissive friend's ninnies in the pictures, which everybody should go check those out over at hearstalk.com/forum. Ninnies.
Check them out.
Yeah, check out the ninnies.
Yo, check out the ninnies.
Awesome. Sorry, before we get away from it, I don't wanna backtrack, but why does Brent in the chat was pointing out that the first guy who took a chicken wing and dipped it in hot sauce does qualify as a genius. But to me, that is an artistic pursuit because it's a culinary art that's being involved there. Sorry, I didn't mean to take a step back. Vanessa, what's going on, buddy? Where are you at today?
I'm in Palm Beach, Florida today, admiring a 2-mile wake of downed mailboxes and bent fenders left behind by a 7-year-old boy on an 8-minute joyride in his grandma's Dodge Durango. On Friday afternoon, the mischievous little imp snuck out of the house with his grandmother's car keys. He got her car started, backed out of the driveway, and took off through their housing development, clipping mailboxes and parked cars along the way. Undeterred by property damage, the boy kept driving, swerving down streets and through parking lots, colliding with moving vehicles and signposts, until finally being brought to a halt 2 miles from home when the front wheel of the SUV literally fell off. Amazingly, no one was harmed, and the 7-year-old walked away without a scratch. He has been charged with Grand Theft Auto and released to his parents. On the one hand, this is obviously very bad, very dangerous behavior, and the kid needs some serious discipline. But I can't help but be impressed by the moxie involved. The fact that he got it in his little brain that he wanted to drive the car, formulated the plan, and then executed it, albeit probably not driving quite as well as he imagined he might, I must admit I feel a certain admiration for the little felon. When I was a kid, I was so shy, so scared of my father, that I didn't dare leave the dinner table without asking. I was into my teens before I got daring enough to test my boundaries, and even then, even with well-crafted lies and multiple alibis, I wasn't sure that my father wouldn't be able to read my mind and know I'd done something wrong just by looking at me. But if I'm honest, however well-behaved fear kept me through grade school, I certainly did make up for it later. For Best in Show Radio News, I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
Is this the same kid? I read something about some kid that like he actually has like a real long rap sheet. Is this the same kid or is this a different kid?
I think this is a new kid, a new 7-year-old. I think this might be his first foray into
criminality.
Felony.
Yeah. There was some kid that I read about like maybe a week or two ago that I was going to bring up on the show and then didn't. If I went through my notes, if I actually could remember where it was. But this kid, like, he's known by like Australian police. Like, because he has, like, a rap sheet that's, like, 13 pages long. Like, he's constantly mugging people, robbing cars, just, like, going insane. Like, and you know, it's, I don't know. He's classy.
Yeah, no, from reports, this is just one 7-year-old in Florida. Not sure if he was living there or vacationing there, possibly vacationing because it was his grandma's SUV. But he decided to go for a joyride.
Good for him.
Did they have to not... give the name to protect the minor?
I'm sure.
Yeah, they didn't release his name.
Well, they usually do that for victims or whatever. I was just curious if they do it for the criminal.
No, they absolutely do for criminals that are under the age. Absolutely, 100%.
But luckily, I have his name and address right here.
Joe.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
So did you guys ever do anything that was, I mean, really newsworthy bad behavior as a kid?
Newsworthy?
No.
Well, what's the worst thing that you did as a kid?
Not newsworthy, I'm trying to think. When I was in the fifth grade, I went to a dress down day wearing what my mom told me I was allowed to wear. And then when I got to school, I opened up my school bag and pulled out my Motley Crue t-shirt, my fingerless glove, and my Chinese slippers, and my press-on earring. And it wasn't really a press-on earring. It was just a regular earring with a hook on it that I'd press it into my ear. And then I went to Mrs. Ward's class after the fact, and Mrs. Ward was having a spelling bee, and she took exception to the fact of how I was dressed for dress down day at school. So when I stood up for the spelling bee, I left this stuff sitting at my desk, and she took my fingerless glove and my earring when I was at the desk. So then at lunchtime, I took a rock and scraped curse words into her car. That's the worst thing that I've done.
I don't think Anderson Cooper is going to be holding a round table on that one anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably the worst thing I could think of. Like I said, and it was really bad, too, because it was done with like a small pebble, so you could barely even see the curses in the car. But that's about the worst thing I did that
day. Did you get in trouble?
Yeah, I actually got suspended from school. I had to pay for touch-up paint for her car. It was bad.
Did you catch a beating?
No, my dad had already left by that point, and my stepdad was a wuss, and he would never try and take a shot at me. He took a shot at me once, and then I beat his ass. So he wouldn't be heating me, keeping the temperatures warm around me.
Your stepdad took a shot at you?
My stepdad hit me once.
How long was, if you don't mind me prying into your personal life, how long was he your stepdad before he...
My stepdad... No, this was late. He never hit me when I was younger. He hit me when I was like four, or tried to hit me when I was 13, 14, something like that. He yelled at me. This is actually a great story that has nothing to do with what
you
we're talking about.
You beat his ass as a 13-year-old?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you are the man!
No, he was just really not. That's all it was.
But did you deserve him to take a shot at you? Did you?
If you want me to tell the great story and totally derail this conversation, I will. I was putting too much soy sauce on my lo mein, and he asked me, do I eat my lo mein for the soy sauce or do I eat it for the lo mein? And I said, well, I actually like the two of them together. And he insisted on asking me a couple more. No, and then I asked him a couple more. He kept asking me, and I kept saying I like them together, not giving him the answer he wanted. I could have just been a submissive little bitch and said, yeah, I like the lo mein more. He said, all right, forget it. Then, go up to your room. Get out of here. Get away from the table. I was just like, all right.
You're not the boss of me.
I was just like, all right, fine. You're normal. It's really a normal thing to send a kid away from the table for because I like condiments. But all right, I guess I'll go upstairs.
I would have done that, but go ahead.
And he was just like, what, sent them away or would have been a wise ass?
If he liked condiments, I would have smashed him over the head.
Right. I forgot. Yeah. He's like, what'd you say? I said, you're normal. You're really a normal guy. He's like, that's it. Get out of this house. I'm like, all right. I guess I'm leaving the house then. And I started walking out of the house, and he pushed me from behind while I was walking on the stairs, and my thumb got caught in the railing. He actually broke my thumb, which is why my thumb snaps all weird to this day. And I turned around and ran upstairs and jumped on top and started beating the crap out of him. That was about it.
13.
That was my great story.
Badass. That's
no, I'm telling you, this. He was like maybe 130 pounds. He was a tiny little dude.
At 13, I guess I was so small. There's no way I couldn't have beat up my mother. In fact, I don't think I could have beaten up my mother at 13 years old.
Yeah. This is a totally
I'm big boned.
This is a totally visual thing. Right, what I'm going to do right now, but if when you see him in the street, do you do this to him?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just flinched. He just like threatened a little like.
Yeah, I like the fact that I beat him up and my dad beat him up. That's one of my
awesome.
That's my favorite.
That is
stuff.
Good.
You want to get your dad to call and tell us that story?
Oh God, I really could. I totally could. My dad recounting talking about hearing him whimper as he beat him was hilarious.
That sounds like a great story. Chip off the old block.
Wow. So Keith, what did you do bad as a kid? I don't know how this turned into like me beating up my stepdad.
I didn't do anything bad. I was such a little nerd in school that if I did like talk out of turn, the teachers were excessively rough on me. Like I even remember in junior high school, I was just like, I don't know, I guess I was a little overzealous one day, a little rambunctious. And I remember my English teacher in seventh...
Looking to sow those wild oats.
Exactly. My English teacher saying to me, whatever... Mr. Jackowitz was his name. And I remember Mr. Jackowitz saying to me, whatever's starting, stop it now.
He's a badass.
Yeah, you know, like, so I guess that was his way of saying, you know, like...
Except his name is Jackowitz.
Yeah. I don't know where to go with that.
Brian? Well, once I stabbed my dad. I mean, he was snoring loud.
I guess that was kind of bad. Like, the knife fights that I got in with my brother is probably pretty bad. But that's not what I was thinking of. I, too, didn't get in much trouble in school because I was a bit of a nerd. So I got a pass on a lot of stuff if I ever got caught doing it. But I do remember now, I guess the first thing that popped into my head was my friend and I, the friend who always got me into trouble, would steal my parents' pot plants and bring it around the corner to a guy who smokes pot, and we'd sell it to him for $10 a plant. And my parents would like wake up the next morning and their pot plants wouldn't be there. I was like, what the hell? We've been growing this forever. And so, yeah, I was stealing and selling drugs at, like, you know, age 9.
That's newsworthy.
Yeah, because, like, kids who bring guns to school and stuff, you know, are on the news. I think kids who bring pot to school get caught.
I wasn't in school.
But I'm saying the point is things of that nature are newsworthy. So, yeah, you should.
I wasn't that smart about it. I mean, I could have gotten a lot more than $10. It was just in retrospect.
Could have got 10 years, bro.
Hot Rod in the Pal Talk room stole all the hubcaps from all the teachers and piled them on the last day of school and said to the teachers, do you know where your hubcaps are?
That's a good way to not get caught.
We finally got caught, or shall I say my friend finally got caught, and he took the hit for it, actually. I was sleeping, and my mother woke me up with a, go get the bat, there's someone in the backyard. And I was like, what?
And they want to play baseball?
So I got the bat while she was there. She wanted to watch to make sure that this person didn't run away because apparently he had crawled underneath the car, which was parked right next to the pot plants. I knew exactly what was happening as it was occurring. And she stood there and waited, and she turned the light on and she said, I can see you under the car. And then he skated out with the bat in her hand. He kind of like scooched out from under the car and then started running down the driveway. She ran after him wielding the bat, saw who it was, and threatened, I'm going to call the police on you. He kept running, and then he said, and then I'm going to tell your father. And that stopped him dead in his tracks, because his father used to beat the crap out of him regularly. They're like from the South or something. And he basically...
What does that mean, they're from the South or something? Because they only beat children down South.
That's how he always used to explain it. It's like, you know, we're from the South. We're different than you Northern Yankee people. We live different lives.
I could see that.
It was crazy.
But yeah, so...
They finally, my mom basically kind of talked to him and is like, you've been doing this for the past, you know, year or two. And he's like, yep, it was me. And he took the hit. Never.
How can his parents really get, I mean, what can they say to you or your friend? Like, you've been stealing our pot plants.
Right.
Like, we're breaking the law, but you're stealing our pot plants. Like, you know, you gotta...
That
they didn't really have a leg to stand on.
That's what the bat was for. That's kind of what our thought was, is that, you know, they couldn't report us. And I think, you know, he kept running when they said, we'll call the cops, because he knew that wouldn't happen. The father, I think, stopped him. He could definitely tell his father, you know, your son's been stealing pot plants from us. You owe us $200 or whatever.
You're breaking the law. I mean, we're breaking the law, but you're breaking the unwritten law. So stop.
Yeah, I think he's crazy. I would have drawn a map with a little picture of you.
Yeah, it's not like they put him under spotlights and tied him up or anything and tortured him. But yeah, he didn't give me up.
Can I get a day off my sentence if I give up everyone involved?
He didn't give me up. Thank you, Chad Hutto.
Wow.
How are you going to get him arrested again?
Now he's going to get in trouble.
Oh, he's in jail. Don't worry about it.
Hear Us Talk reaches jail now, by the way. Thanks for reminding me.
What do you mean? It's good?
It's the interweb.
I'm scared.
No, I don't know. I was trying to suggest that Hear Us Talk is available in your local prison.
I just got scared for a second. I thought you actually got contacted by someone from a prison that actually listens to our show.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
Eventually.
I think that's where Robert Downey is listening to us from.
Obviously, that's right.
No, he doesn't go to jail.
So Vanessa, no illicit activities or almost newsworthy activities for you for fear of your...
Yeah, not until teenage years. I ran away from home. I went on the lam at 15, so at that point it was it was lots of stealing, shoplifting, everything that I needed to do to survive. But that was later.
Wow, I kind of want to hear those stories.
I broke out of the house in the middle of the night and
what age?
Took off running.
15.
15. I was a sophomore.
And then on the lam for how long? How long were you gone?
By myself, just under 3 months.
That's pretty significant.
Impressive.
Yeah. Did you shack up on someone's couch or something, or were you on the street? Were you walking the street?
There was I lived in Southern California, so I slept on the beach quite a bit. That was something that you could do. And then there was actually a little network of like punk rock runaway kids for various reasons.
Squatters.
So we kind of banded together and moved about. There would be times when there was, an abandoned place and you could sleep there for like a few days, and then something bad would happen to that, and then somebody would say, "Oh, well, so and so's parents said we could stay on their couch for a couple of days," and then you do that, and just kind of bounced around.
They were all tweakers, like everything's all random, nothing stable.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty, it was pretty like a Lifetime special.
That's awesome. Did you stab anybody?
No, I lifted some wallets.
That's it? Shoplifting? You just, or you lifted wallets and you shoplifted, you didn't rob anyone?
No. Yeah. I was a girl, I was, 15. I hitchhiked.
You're saying I'm a girl, but that's you at 15 could beat my ass at 15, guaranteed.
I had some 15-year-old girl came up to me with a knife in her hand. I'd probably give her my wallet. I don't think I'd try to fight.
I started to pick up on the fact that you could get away with a lot more by being sneaky than by being confrontational.
I
mean, it was much easier to be like, "I'm sad and lonely, and won't you take me in for the night?" and then steal their wallet and run.
Nice.
Look at my puppy dog eyes. They're looking
exactly
at your bank account.
forget it.
Nice. Good one. I get it. Awesome. It's being pointed out in the chat room, Brian gets aroused so easily. I really want to hear those stories in reference to Vanessa's 15-year-old runaway stories.
I did. I thought that was kind of... I watch all those... The kids movie, all that stuff just really get... I like
High School Musical?
I just like the dangerous kind of preteen.
Hannah Montana, whatnot.
Movie Kids, and I think that's my fascination with the director and Larry Clark and all that stuff.
The director and Larry Clark?
I think, ironically, he has a fascination with kids as well, Larry Clark.
Yeah, a special kind of fascination. Yeah, I just love those stories.
Yeah, I never. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Kids. I suppose I never got into the teen drama outside of 90210. I couldn't imagine anything
else. I like
the
Degrassi shows.
Wow.
Degrassi Junior High, I got into for a little bit, but not very long.
I'm talking about the current one, though.
Oh, wow. Mainly because the blonde skinhead girl was
she's on
attractive.
It, actually.
Now?
Yeah. Her and her boyfriend then are married, and their daughter is main kid players.
Blonde skinhead.
Oh, the skinhead girl. Oh, wait. Okay, I was thinking of Spike was the girl with the Pogues shirt and, like... The skinhead girl was her friend. I'm sorry, you're
okay,
right.
Okay, then I've mixed the two together, then.
Yeah, the skinhead girl had a face like a dog. I don't think that's who you're talking about. You're talking about Spike, the girl that was pregnant.
Yeah.
And Snake was her boyfriend. Yeah, they're married now, and her daughter, the girl she was pregnant with, is one of like the main characters on the show.
Congratulations. Yeah, I would have sent a gift over to her.
Yeah, it's true. I also hang around the schoolyard with lollipops.
Super.
What was that? The icing?
Frosted lollipop. No, come on. I don't do that. I hang around the teacher's lounge with the frosted lollipops.
There's a lot of really gross like sounds coming out of Brian over into the microphone today. They're all like disgusting sounds of arousal I almost hear.
That's what Right-Ass Brent was picking up on or something. I was excited to hear about her delinquency.
But it's the sounds. So tell us about that song.
Wait, talk slower.
No.
Okay, faster.
Awesome. As long as we're talking about filthy tales of intrigue and complication and whatnot else. Hey, Vanessa, you got maybe a PS to help Brian out?
Yeah, you want you want a dungeon story? Is that where do you want to go?
I'm always a fan of a dungeon story myself.
What are our options?
Give
us a menu. What's today's special?
You know, I posted a list on the message board, but I can't remember now what the what everybody is most interested.
Yeah, I think the dungeon seems to be the
consensus. Yeah, that's
okay. So bachelor party season runs like May through October because people don't get married so much in the winter. They get married in the summer.
Right.
So you mostly do bachelor parties that time of year, and there are private shows that you do all through the year, but sometimes money gets tight. So at one of those times, one year, I went to work in a dungeon, and that was my job all through the winter season.
Do you clock into a dungeon, by the way?
Yeah, it was actually it was very regimented, as you might imagine a dungeon would be.
For some reason, I'm imagining the door when you walked in sounded like.
Of course it did.
Exactly.
It was really cheesy in that way that it kind of was like that. It was in this big warehouse district, but everything on the inside, like all the walls, are painted red, and there's all this like, you know, faux gothic stuff all over the place. Anyway, so most of the girls there, we actually had to work as submissives, not as doms. Like you had to work your way up to being a dom. So it was getting like the crap beat out of me on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, I can't. That's a weird thing to think about. I would never think that would be a service that would be offered. I mean, my ex-girlfriend, who actually used to work in a dungeon, I never knew that they offered submissive services. I only thought they offered dominatrix services.
Isn't that like hostile light almost? Like,
yeah, I couldn't imagine like, oh yeah, I need someone that I'm gonna discipline for a little while. Like, I didn't know that was actually a job.
Would be allowed either without like a team of like security guards watching the whole thing happen.
So Vanessa, you said getting the crap beaten out of you.
Yeah. Off the ground suspension, rope bondage, humiliation.
By dudes?
Yeah, by dudes.
Wow. I'm amazed that that's really allowed.
So
can you go into a little more detail about humiliation?
Like verbal humiliation. Sometimes, it
producer,
depends on what a guy's thing is. I mean, sometimes, yeah, they just want to like show up and like tie up a girl and call her a slut for an hour. You know, like.
Jesus. Can you believe what you're charging me to do this? were there like safety precautions, like? To prevent someone from
a safe word or whatever. Oh, you're saying beyond with the person.
Beyond
you
a
mean
word,
like,
beyond relying on the person to respect guns. The safe word kind of deal, like
no guns.
Yes, there were safe words. There were the people had to be members, so they had to give all their information. They were supposed to be registered with the front, as you know, and checked up on and know who they were. I don't know how. I don't know how much effort they really put into doing that, but there was the facade of something.
But did you know, did that go through your mind the whole time?
I knew that if you screamed and yelled, people would come running. I mean, if you screamed and yelled in the safe word way.
Uh-huh.
So for that reason, you had to be working there for a certain amount of time before you were allowed to take a gag. You had to have a certain amount of experience that you might be in trouble to take away your ability to yell out.
Wow, that's nuts. That's
I would have banned that
I wouldn't think like a ball gag or any sort of gagging would be appropriate in, unless there's someone like unless there would be someone like watching on a video screen or watching behind a two-sided mirror, kind of like a, you know, like almost like the stripper bodyguard. Unless there was someone there monitoring, there's no way that I would think that would be allowed.
We had an audio monitor. We had a you know, like a speaker box. But it wasn't on nonstop. Like, they would just drop down and listen in periodically. So you were on, like, 15-minute increments, and they would drop down and listen to what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, damage can be done in 10 minutes or less. That's nuts.
When I own a dungeon, I'm going to have totally different rules.
Yeah,
were there ever... I don't want to take it back. Like, is it was there ever an incident while you were employed?
There was an incident. There were a couple incidents. One involving me, where someone actually drew blood.
Ooh.
And that one was pretty bad. And one involving a guy actually who was with one of the DOMs, and he didn't use a safe word, and he got himself choked to the point of going unconscious.
Wow.
We had to call the paramedics.
That's kind of hot. That's wow, man.
Paramedics, really? I used to choke myself unconscious regularly.
Congratulations.
Yes, I guess what he did. He choked himself unconscious, and she didn't realize how far it had gone. So I mean, he was like frothing at the mouth, you know, like.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never got into the whole. I never get into the choking thing or the lack of air thing was weird to me. That's one thing I never got out of the whole bondage bit. The whole rubber suit with the tiny little valve over the mouth sometimes just close off. Say, okay, now live without air for a little while.
Oh, God.
You're not worthy of air. Like, I'm having problems now just thinking about it. I went to it. So anyway, sorry. So your regular bondage story before we got into everything else. Sorry, Vanessa, I sidetracked you.
Yeah. Good sidetrack, though. Even I think Robert Downey in the chat room is even a little freaked out.
That's because he was the guy that drew blood.
You remember that? Oh, man.
Yeah, so where were you going with the story, Vanessa?
There was there was this guy who wanted to be treated as a dog. Like, an actual, you know, dog. So he was going through the whole... the whole thing, and one of the girls would take him into the room and then put him on a leash and then take him around the whole rest of the club and he would act like a dog. Part of it was he was nude at the time, and then he would ask,
"Dogs
can I wag
pants.
My tail?"
Wag his tail? Say that again?
He said, "Can I wag my tail?" And when she would say yes, "You can wag your tail," he only had one thing that he could use as a tail.
No,
waggable.
Oh, see, I think I was hearing what Brian was hearing was that he was going to create his own brown tail.
Right,
that's what I was thinking.
No, we actually there was no. Somebody asked it in the chat room before about golden showers. This place was totally above ground and licensed for contact. That would have been. Over the line. That violates, like,
it was a waste-free establishment.
Allow me to say boo.
Well, even you even got to take dogs outside. I get it.
So there was this ridiculous scene of him thrusting his hips back and forth with his erection, which was his wagging his tail. And he actually did it with such force and did it so much that he bled.
Wait,
no.
What?
He bled from his thighs or something, right?
He bled, like, from his,
His business, obviously, but whereabouts on the business? The base?
Like his junk?
Yeah, but where on his junk?
From the spout or from the edges? Was it a rug burn or was it a internal bleeding?
I'm totally not.
It looked to me to be chafing. I didn't get too close into it, but it looked to be that he had just. I mean, the whole area was completely raw. He'd been doing it for a couple hours, and it was. He chafed himself.
So let me just make sure that I understand exactly what's happening here. So this guy is in the doggy position, as it were,
yep.
wiggling his log. over and over again, and he made his log raw from wiggling it.
So, like, thrusting his hips forward and back with such violence that his whole business is, like, slapping around, like, violently?
Come on, we've done that in front of the mirror, haven't we?
I don't. I just don't. I just don't understand how it could get to the point of bloodshed. That's insane.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah, but delicious.
And, but crazy that's the kind of thing that you know. Sometimes you imagine, like, oh, why can't these people be? You know, isn't it sad that they haven't found somebody in their life who also enjoys this lifestyle and that they have, like, you know, meaningful sexual exchanges at home? When I looked at him, it was like, oh, right, no one will ever love you.
Exactly. Who is there another being on the planet that says, yeah, you know what I'd love? I'd love to see a dude wiggle his junk for an hour until he's bleeding.
I'll bet you there's women out there who would like to see a naked guy do something really freaky like that.
That's a no-sure fact that there's not.
There's not.
Wow.
It's hideous.
So what time is this place open to? I've kind of been mouthing off at work. I need an ass kicking.
Yeah, I'm still reeling back from the whole thing that you could actually purchase submissive services. That's nutty to me.
Owned.
What?
Owned.
That's owned owned through Facebook. Awesome. It's nuts.
There were a couple times that people were so violent and seemed so on the brink of, like, losing control that in my mind I was like, okay, this person is here, and that's good, because if they weren't, they'd be out, like, actually, you know, abusing women. I mean, seriously, like they seemed out of control enough to that I would be concerned that they were rapists in the outside world.
Yeah, that's
you were taking a hit for the team?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that that's a good thing.
Literally.
I don't know that that's a good thing, literally taking a hit.
Well, dying for their sins.
What was the level of the contact? Like you said, like rope bondage and suspension and stuff like that. Were you actually struck?
Oh, yeah. Regularly. I mean, that was, with various, you know,
crops,
hands,
and
paddles,
whatnot.
Whips, crops, switches.
But about but
the switch actually was what like one of those big like when the dudes have the horse and buggy thing, that big like switch with the little like rope tip on the end. Yep. That's actually somebody raised welts on me so bad that they drew blood with one of those.
Yeah, that's man, and I'm and again not to delve too far. You were struck all over. I mean, were you hitting the face? Were you hitting about the bosom? About the buttocks?
Yep, all over. All over.
Even in the moneymaker. Like,
what's that?
I said, even in the moneymaker, the face.
Yeah, see, the face, I couldn't imagine taking a shot to the face with a stick, basically.
I didn't take any shots to the face with a stick.
Telephone,
yeah. But yeah, like a good smack across the face, like, that definitely
That's happens. What I'm saying, like with a paddle, is what I'm saying. I'm exaggerating
hand,
when I say
I
stick.
Think is what she's saying.
Yeah, so only hands then? You never...
Hands, I definitely took a riding crop to the face.
Yeah, see, that's nuts to me.
Well, she probably deserved that.
Obviously. Ah, oh, man.
Yeah, it's it wasn't lifestyle for me. There were girls there who were submissive in their life, and this was something that they
got a kick.
They got off on it, you know. It wasn't that way for me. So I would say in a lot of cases with a lot of people, if you know that you're doing something that is left of center, you know, you kind of have to cross your own boundaries to establish where they are. And I would say that my time there challenged my boundaries. And it was, after that, I reined it in a little.
Literally.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm as you can tell by my flustered talking here, I'm blown away to think that you could actually go to a place and lay your money down and say, yeah, I need to punch her, you know, or maybe not punch, but I need to smack a chick around. That's nuts to
That's
me.
Why I made that hostile reference before, because it's that's like an extreme version, but it's the same idea. Like, I want to pay, tie this person up, and, you know, like, I want to do stuff to them.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. points out in the chat, it sounds like going to work every day is great. Like, this is really a nightmare. Like, oh, good. Like, I complain about what I'm doing at work right now. Like, but I don't go to work to get, you know, to get smacked around.
Right, but clearly there's a part of her, you can hear it in the tone of her voice where she's looking back at it now, and it's like, this was a little over the top for me, and I didn't like it. But clearly there was a part of her that was attracted by the concept of sadism.
That's not the impression that I just got. Vanessa, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounded like you were doing it because it was a job.
I was doing it because it was a job, and I made a lot of money doing it. For whatever, being as tall as I am, looking the way that I did, it was, you know, I was considered to be a particular challenge. So, you know, we used to have to, like, do that lineup kind of thing. Like, if you see, like, if you ever watch that HBO show about, like, the brothel type, you know, stuff, like the way that a guy comes in and all the girls who are on, you know, who are on the shift, everybody lines up. And I mean, it was pretty common for me to get picked first. So it was something that I was successful at doing. And not to get too far into the, you know, psychological, like, evaluation, but to me, it was so hard for me emotionally to do the bachelor party stuff and to do, like, the club dancing. Like, that was so hard for me. It was so completely different from my personality, that it was almost easier for a little while to just go somewhere and not really have to put any action into it and just let things happen to me.
Oh, okay. So there was no,
almost a break.
Even before that, then, there was no kind of desire for you in a loving relationship to explore S&M stuff. It just happened.
No, not beyond, like, you know, like, I think the really normal, like, you know, ooh, spanking, you know, like,
yeah,
like
that's,
that everybody's done, you know. So, no, I don't have any, I don't have any S&M fetish.
Yeah, not me. I don't like the spank. Everyone
likes a flaming cane across the face every once in a while, you know. Like.
I'm not going to say anything. I think that there's plenty of fantastic things in the world for everyone to enjoy.
Being set on fire, outrageous.
I don't even want to be touched. Touch me.
I don't. Man, I'm. I don't think that. I couldn't imagine that the bachelor party thing would be really enjoyable. I mean, I guess I could understand that someone might get a charge out of it, for lack of a better term. But I would think that the majority of the ladies that do it probably don't really enjoy what they're doing. But still, I couldn't imagine that, you know, taking a beating would be more appealing. But that's just, again, I understand the concept of, because it's not your nature, you'd rather just, like, all right, just let it be done and then it's over type thing, as opposed to you initiating and being like, hey boys, whipped cream, woo, you know.
Yeah. Which I could do, but I had to muster up so much, like, I mean, it really I was never as successful as a stripper as I could have been, because I allowed myself so much downtime. Whereas, like, there were other girls that I worked with, and girls that, like, I mean, some that were kind of beat, you know? Like, and you just look at them, and they're like, they were such money makers because they just hustled like crazy, and they...
Goers, as it were.
They never turned any, you know, parties Hustlers. Down, and they never, like, I would work Friday and Saturday, and then, you know, crawl into the fetal position and, like, you know, take the week off because it was really hard for me. It was difficult for me to be that hey, I'm the life of the party and I'm naked, like, personality.
Sounds like Chris.
Somebody play Piano Man.
I was going to say that sounds fine to me, but that's, I guess that's my own thing.
Awesome.
Well, as always, actually, you know what? I will want to ask one more if I can, and go back to what Robert Downey Jr. was talking about. What kind of money are we talking about here? Like, per client or per night or per thing, and I'm talking on the S&M tip.
Yeah, on the S&M tip. Okay, so guys are paying like $200 an hour to go into the room with you, and then you're negotiating from there.
But of that $200 to go into the room with you, oh, so it's not, there's not a menu, there's not a price list.
Nope, it's they didn't make anybody do anything they didn't want to do. So it was, you know, you went into the room and what you were comfortable with and what you felt that you could negotiate with the guy.
Of the 200, how much did you get? How much did the establishment get?
Half and half.
Okay.
Did you regularly have to turn down requests for things from clients?
Yeah, I turned things down. There were a lot of things I wouldn't do.
Oh, man.
I didn't do any. So imagine like the big rack where you have your wrists shackled to the rack and they crank it up and you know.
Oh,
I
was thinking about something else. Sorry, I was thinking about the big rack.
So wrist suspension like
right.
that. I wouldn't go off the ground like that anymore. Like, that was something that was, it was too painful, it was too hard for me. Like, I mean, it pulls your wrists out of their sockets, and it was, that's something that a lot of guys really, they want to see a girl off the ground.
I'm going to hang you by your wrists, and then I'm going to call you Jesus, and I'm going to pierce your side.
Yeah, I can't.
She would regularly turn down deep tissue body massages, ironically.
I'm just curious. Like, I want to, like, I'm trying to think money wise. Like, what is like a normal rate for something? Let's say I came in and I'm bargaining and I say, all right, I want to give you, say, the riding crop to the face. Like, how much is that? And is that something that you discuss in advance, or is it like, hey, I'm going to discipline you with a riding crop. Period. The end. Or I mean, is there a ground rule set?
You discuss everything. So you go. Somebody says, okay, I would like to choose you. You go into a room. You go into a room by yourselves and you say, okay, what is it? What's your thing? What do you want to do? And they tell you, I want to do, rope bondage, riding crop, smack to the face, pain level 7 to 9, and verbal humiliation. And you either say, okay, I'm okay with this part and that part, but I'm, pain level 4 to 3, 3 to 4, like, and if you strike a bargain, if you meet in a common ground, then you go and you book the room and they pay and then you go into the session.
And the bargained fee, is that also split with the establishment, or they only split the room fee with you?
They're just splitting the room fee.
Wow, nuts.
That sounds like every Sunday from 11 to 2 here at Best of Show Radio.
Yeah, it's that's
pain level 7 to 9.
That's good stuff,
verbal
man.
Humiliation.
That's really good stuff. That's this is I didn't think that I could be more I don't want to say shocked, but more like intrigued and just totally just like, whoa, really, and learning a new level of something that I really didn't understand about an industry that, like I said, I dated a girl that was in this industry, but she was strictly a dom. Well, when I knew her, she wasn't. As Vanessa said before, she worked with her, so she may have known her.
Didn't work with her in a dungeon, though. I worked with her. I worked with her at a club. She was a waitress, and I was a dancer.
Okay,
club.
Okay. Yeah, I never knew her to do anything other than be a dom. And in the place where she worked, there were only doms. That's why I was totally blown away to find out that there were submissive services. The place mm-hmm. that she worked in Manhattan, it was only doms, and that was
well.
That was
in the dungeon that I worked at, there would be a like on a shift, there would be like maybe 10 submissives and only one dom, and like two, like a couple of the submissives would be switches. They could go either way. So yeah. I mean, there were far more submissives than doms.
Yeah, that's it. That's, like I said, shocking to me. Didn't know it was a thing that existed. And again, it's I'd like anything else, until you're exposed to it. If you don't, you're not going to know that something exists.
Hey, Vanessa, can I ask you one more question?
Of course.
What is a switch? Do you know that term?
Do you not know what a switch is?
No.
Are you talking about
as
the
a discipline
item
device?
Or
a person?
A person.
The person.
Oh, I don't know.
A switch is someone who can be dom or submissive.
Okay. And that's obvious now that you uh-huh. said it. Okay.
I thought you meant like a thing that, the plant that you go out.
Go around
and
back and fix
with.
Me a switch.
No. Yeah, well, that comes into play too. So I wasn't
only,
sure which
only
one
for one of
about.
The switches, though. Only for half of the. On the submissive half of the switch, you could use a switch. Switch. Switching things up. Vanessa, as always, fantastically captivating report, and more so now, fantastically captivating PS. Excellent stuff, buddy. Excellent stuff.
Strange game. The only way to win is to not to play.
Oh, my God.
I'll let you guys percolate with this for like a week and see what see what it is that you might want to ask about next week.
And just like White S. Brent says in the chat room, where can we find out more about you, Vanessa, if we so choose?
VanessaChiwa.blogspot.com.
Awesome, buddy. Thank you so much. Good, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Awesome. What?
I was looking at you. I was wondering what was going on.
That's I just get aggravated when people think I'm going to forget things that I'm not going to forget.
He was giving me a little verbal abuse.
Yes.
How much was it?
I was suspending him. It cost me my life. It cost me my sanity on a weekly basis. Awesome. So good stuff here on Best in Show.
I didn't have one more question. I had 800 more questions, but I might as well save them.
This will go on forever. I love it. It's nuts, man. It's really nuts and crazy and kooky to feel like, because the report used to be, Vanessa's report used to be like when it was over, it was just like, nice. And don't get me wrong, not to say that I don't feel, nice, but it's just like, it's a different thing. Like we're trying to wind down. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. The fact that they have, you can pay and have a submissive is insane to me.
Yeah, that would seem, it seems borderline
strictly
illegal.
Safety precautions, you know.
Yeah.
Like
especially within this, well, I mean, I guess that was her situation there at this place, that was the case. Man, Brian, are you going to be gone long? Because I have a really great story I wanted to discuss with you.
No, I'll be right back.
Okay, thanks.
Can you get me some water? I don't have there's honey in that. Can I use one of your glasses?
Nah. He's just going to bring his hands filled with water and let you lap out of it. What do you expect?
White S. Brent, Keith, start writing them questions now, and you won't have to worry about doing any more show prep for the next 3 years. Well, I may as well because I don't, so. So what do you want to talk about while Brian's gone? Did he screw anything up today that you're really upset about?
No, I just it bums me out when he thinks I'm not going to do things and he reminds me of stuff. Uh-huh. It just aggravates me. Like at the beginning of the show when he reminds me to take my finger and touch your finger at the beginning of the show.
Did we do that today?
No, we banged Nux instead.
Oh, that's
we
right. You cut my hand open.
Yeah, like the cool kids do. And just now, like he was, he thought that I wasn't going to remember to ask about Vanessa's blog. You know, things like that. Those things just rattle me. They rattle my cage.
They rattle your cage? Do they stick in your craw, though?
He gets in my kitchen with those things. It really just gets to me.
He pisses in your kitchen.
It's like he pissed in my Cheerios. It's like someone pissed on my cornflakes.
Do they still lower your cholesterol?
Why wouldn't they?
By the way, we discussed last week how my doctor didn't call me back to tell me my blood test results, and how I called there and left messages, and she still didn't call me back. Well, my wife had to go to the doctor this week, so she also asked on the way out. She said to the nurse, "By the way, my husband hasn't gotten his blood test results yet. He thinks he's dying. Do you know anything?" And the nurse told her, starts writing down my information. She's going to have her call me, and then she's like, "You know what?" And she reads it herself, and she's like, "Yeah, he has high cholesterol and low vitamin D." And I'm like, okay, why is that something you wouldn't have called me for, number one? And number two, even if you didn't think it was important enough to call me, when I put in calls asking you to call me back with it, wouldn't you then at least call?
Well, I personally wouldn't, but that's because I'm not a doctor nor a professional.
So if I called you and said, "Chris, do you have my blood test results?" you wouldn't know what I was talking about.
If I did, I wouldn't answer. I would keep it as a secret.
He'd make up an answer, I think.
But It's insanity. The one thing I wanted to mention, not to get off your low vitamin D or whatever is wrong with you, one of the services that I was hoping could be provided by the center or by the dungeon where Vanessa used to work would be some sort of solitary confinement, like a deprivation chamber type thing. And I'm sure that probably exists. The reason I bring it up is because I am obsessed with the video of Nicholas White being locked in the elevator for 41 hours. That this is something that happened 9 years ago. For those of you that are not familiar with the story, it's happened 9 years ago, but the video is making its rounds now. I don't know why it's only making its rounds now, if it only came out now, or if it's because the New Yorker just published the story now.
As a recent
that it's resurfacing.
Recent subject of a New Yorker, this last week's New Yorker.
Yeah, but why was that video just been not shown for years?
It's because the New Yorker put it in. It's not, this whole article isn't just about that. It's about elevators and technology and stuff like that. And you know, this is one of like two
elevators,
examples.
The drug of the nation.
It's like one of two examples that are things going wildly wrong with elevators. And the New Yorker's been getting more and more kind of web-centric. So on their sites, they've been putting, hey, watch this accompanying video that goes with this article. So they put up that thing on their website. And as a result, now it's back on. People are watching it.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, I don't know, I would suggest doing a web search. Maybe Brian will look for it and post it in the chat room. I think if you go to our message boards, we have it over at theheroestalk.com/forum. The video is up there. Basically, the gist of it is this dude who worked for some magazine. I'm trying to remember which magazine he worked for. He worked for
something in McGraw-Hill. Yeah. I think it was at McGraw-Hill
building. Yeah, it was McGraw-Hill building. But he went to go take a cigarette break when working late at night.
11 p.m. on a Friday.
On a Friday. And he went to go take a cigarette break, and when he went to go back up to his office, his elevator got stuck at like the 13th floor, I think it was, lucky number 13, but where there wasn't a floor on this particular elevator, and he wound up sitting in this elevator for 41 hours. 41 hours.
Jesus. It was maddening.
That's like a whole day.
It's just like almost 2 days. And they show it in, if you watch the video, they have the little clicker on the bottom telling you how many hours have gone by, and you can kind of see him pacing around, and it's sped up so that you can watch it in, you know, like 3 or 4 minutes or something. He had no cell phone, no book. Like, he had a couple of notes on a note card or something to pass the time.
You see, at one point, if you watch the video, it looks like he's going through his wallet, just trying to see what things he can entertain himself with in his wallet.
I almost would like to have that alone time, but the confined area of like of an elevator and not having a book or something to occupy myself would be.
But there's got to be. I mean, there's got to be something wrong with that specific building, though.
I've never. Well, obviously.
I don't even mean the elevator getting stuck. I mean the fact that you can be in an elevator for 2 days with nobody knowing. You know, like.
Well, that's, you know, it has to do with the time of daytime, and if the building is not manned 24/7, how would they know?
If you watch the video, it's the video takes place. You can, in the bottom right hand or upper left hand corner, I think, is his elevator. You see throughout the rest of the screen three other screens of three other elevators in that building. And clearly,
by the way, Robert Downey's mom saw the video and asked, why didn't he climb out like Die Hard?
I think they talk a little bit about that in the
I know. It's just so funny. Like,
but
that.
You're able to see in the other three from that camera, from the other three. Clearly, even though it happened over the weekend, you can see a person climbing up on a ladder and working on all three of the other elevators down at the lobby level. So there's someone there. They're at the bottom of the shaft, 13 floors away from the person up there. At one point in time, they would have had to have heard the alarm that he was ringing intermittently and for a little while had it going constantly, and then decided to turn it off for fear, like, it would run the motor out or it would compromise his situation. He's just, you know, he's alone. He's going through all these thoughts and he's talking himself out of all these situations. It just must have been friggin' maddening. And there were people there in the building working on the elevators.
Well, his coworker that he left.
Yes.
Apparently left a nasty note at his desk, all annoyed at him that he left without saying goodbye.
You left without saying goodbye.
Yeah,
you
without his jacket and stuff. In the middle. Wasn't this like the middle of winter or something?
It's like
happened?
November, I want to say.
Yeah, and it was like 30 degrees out, and he left his jacket upstairs, and this idiot says, oh, why'd you leave? You know, like,
crazy smokers?
Yeah. I just, the...
It's my...
So many things popped into my head watching that experience, but the first thing was his bowel movements. How could you go 41 hours without crapping once?
Just as you said it, Robert Downey, what if he had diarrhea?
And not even just diarrhea, just regular. Like, how can you squeeze? Have you ever gone 2 days without?
Yes.
Were you sick or something was horribly
wrong?
No,
I was in a holding cell, and I refused to eat so I wouldn't have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I guess he's not eating. Like, he had, I think, five. He had once. He had.
Why does Brett points out that you would have pooped 37 times in that time period?
That's exactly probably why it popped in my head first. But apparently he had on him, like, five cigarettes or something like that.
And he didn't smoke a single one.
He smoked all of them. Yes.
I could have swore that he read that he was afraid that it was going to set off the alarm, so he didn't do it.
He did anyway. He stopped in the beginning. He decided he wasn't going to do it, and then he also had, like, I think 5 Rolades or something left that he could, like, siphon out and eat. He ended up smoking after he started panicking. Like, he started in this first wave of panic where he started going through the, they're not going to find me, you know, who am I going to sue, what's going on here, this is never going to happen, you know, why isn't it happening yet? He went through, within that hour, all 5 cigarettes. Gone.
You should carry a carton around just in case.
Yeah, it's being said in the chat room. My buddy Ineas said he didn't believe that he smoked them either. I guess I also didn't read the entire article. I read part of it and then stopped. I just watched the video over and over again and freak out.
I think
watching
I got the
this
magazine
poor,
here.
Poor guy. And then you find out that there's not a happy ending at the end of the story. That's the heartbreaking thing as it continues. So the guy
he got out though.
Yeah, no, he's still there today, actually. He's still there. No, 41 hours later, he gets out. Then he immediately stopped going to work, thinking that if he went back to work, that it would show that he was somehow not scarred by this thing and, like, screw up his chances for a decent settlement in a lawsuit. He sued for, like, you know, millions of dollars, and apparently they settled for like less than 6 figures, and the guy got let go by the company because he just stopped showing up to work. And it's just, he's a dude who's currently today, 2008, whatever day is it, April 26th, 7th, whatever day it is, he's unemployed today. This poor guy.
Even that, at the end of it, even that, he's like, you know, I'm not disappointed with the elevator manufacturers or my job. I'm disappointed with myself because I insisted on trying to take people to court. I shouldn't have done that. It's incredible.
Oh, you got to realize at this point, he's defeated. On the hottest of all lines, someone's joining us here. Who's this?
Hello, you're on the air.
I guess you're not.
I want you! Mr. Mounties, man!
Just wanted to say it. I love you.
You fucking bitch!
Yeah, someone's trying to play some sort of sound effects that I'm not getting.
It's gone. I was wondering we picked up the movie that we shouldn't have been listening to.
No, I think that was the person in the chat room saying, how would we deal with getting pranked if we ever were? I'm assuming we just got pranked. That was,
I hope we don't get kicked off of internet radio.
Oh, man. I love that the end of the video was like a bad Benny Hill bit.
Oh, the elevator thing, yeah.
I guess the whole thing is like every couple of hours or so when he starts to freak out and you see him start bouncing off the walls, it's really nutty. Oh, man.
He goes up to the ceiling and he tries to like get through the within the first hour, I think, not even before hour number one. He's trying to go through the trap door in the ceiling to see if he can get up. And then he realizes he can't because it's locked like from the outside or something is what it turns out was the fact. But he still goes back and tries it.
I love him, like
20 hours, 20. He's back up there trying to push his way up through, and then he gets. It's. I guess there's nothing else you could do. You just keep trying.
I love this when it looks like he's peeing because you see the stream, but then you realize that he's actually behind the tree pouring a water can out.
He ended up, as I understand it, he would open the doors a little bit and try to urinate down through the tiny little crack.
I think he did.
Yeah. He'd pee down through the tiny little crack between, you know, the wall and the elevator.
I think it's funny, too, that they said that it was a good thing he didn't try to climb out and get onto the top of the elevator, because they said the majority of elevator deaths happen that way. Because apparently, I don't know if I read it right, it triggers something and it starts to move if you do that, and you know, it's just screwed if you're on top of a moving elevator.
I think the idea...
Especially if it goes up.
The idea is if something turns back on or if someone actually figures out what's going on and they manually override it and you're moving, if you're on the top of the elevator when it's moving, it's apparently not so easy to survive as
unless
we
you're
think
John,
it is.
John McLean.
But what moving parts are going to be there? Just like the rope, the cable thing.
The cables, I'm sure, and also the counterweights and all of the rotating equipment that the cables are going through.
As soon as you started moving it, you'd probably jump right back in that hole, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I guarantee that I have no problem riding on the top of an elevator.
I don't know if I would guarantee that.
Is that a stunt gag or?
Yeah, this is the way we're gonna promote Hear Us Talk. I'm gonna escape from a moving elevator. It's coming.
Apparently, like that's how you die. is you get on top of an elevator.
You saw that in the future? You know that that's how I die? Screw up.
Damien killed a guy in The Omen 2 like that. The guy was on top of the elevator and he set it off. Something along that line.
Wow.
Oh, he'd make his head blow up.
There was a description in there of one elevator that came crashing. Like, this was the brakes for some reason malfunctioned. And they actually describe, like, how to... a crazy little prank that happens a lot in the ghettos of New York, where you can...
where you could stab your friend to death and steal their money.
you stuff a bunch of Christmas trees into an elevator and light them on fire and choose the top floor. And by the time it's made it all the way to the top floor, like, it has heated either the exterior of the elevator up so much... and or provides heat for whatever's holding on to the elevator from the top, that it comes to the top, and then it sort of unhinges once it's at the top floor. That comes barreling down to the basement, and it explodes once it hits, like, the basement level in, like, a fiery mess. And apparently, like, that's a funny little thing that people do in the projects.
That gets... I'll try that later on tonight.
Isn't that
crazy? I'll do that.
When I lived in projects, we used to throw banana peels outside and see if anyone would slip on them.
If you've ever seen someone slip on a banana peel, that's the greatest thing ever.
There was a store called Captain Video on was it Flatlands Avenue?
It was right on Ralph Avenue. It's on the corner of Ralph and Flatlands. Okay. I remember Captain Video.
And that store, and we used to throw a banana peel in there, and we once saw a guy slip on the banana peel. It was the greatest thing ever. But karma got me twice, because twice in my life I've slipped on a banana peel.
I've never heard of a person really slipping on a banana peel.
And you know what, man? It's screwed up, because that thing flies. It's like you're sliding down a hill in the middle of winter or something.
It's not just Wile E. Coyote that has problems with it. It really works for humans.
That's so awesome. Slippery that you just go, whew, it takes your foot right up.
If I threw pepper in your face, would you start sneezing too?
Every time an air conditioner falls out of the window, if I don't have my umbrella either to stop it.
You stay away from anvils.
Well, air conditioner. I was going to say anvil's the only thing I've ever seen fall out of a window.
There was another story about a woman operator inside of an elevator, and she...
What floor, please? What floor?
Apparently, like, the cables collapsed and the brakes weren't working to get it out, so she just went barreling down into the basement, but... Enough of the...
By the way, Robert Downey points out that he tricked Keith once by putting dynamite on his birthday cake. Sorry, I had to let that one out there.
I'm trying to blow him out. The clipped cable was apparently piling up underneath her. She had traveled down 50 floors or something else, and all the cable was piling up underneath her, so it actually kind of added...
Cushioned the floor?
Yeah, it slowed her down. And by slowing her down, it actually burst up through the floor and sort of, like, pierced the metal all around the stuff. So she lucked out. She was very seriously injured, but she had been cowering in the corner, so she didn't get, like, a lot of the... Could you imagine? That's craziness.
I would just jump up at the very end, so, like, I would land softly.
Exactly. Elevators suck. I'm now scared of it.
I'll be honest. Ever since watching the video of that dude, and now you've just made it worse with, I don't know, razor blade laser beams of cable shooting through a... I've been... Every elevator I've been getting in this past week, I've just been looking around like, man, this could be it.
Same here. I work in a building that's got an elevator that's maybe half that size, and there's two of them, and they're so slow, and they always get stuck, and they pack, like, eight people into that thing. There was someone that I work with who sits right next to me. She was stuck for an hour and a half in an elevator with seven other people just standing there.
I would start making out with everyone here. Just like, come on. Guys, we're going to die. Let's just start doing it now.
Oh, my God. We've been here for 20 minutes.
That's what I mean. And I was telling the story.
See, I was going to bring this up. Yeah. You brought the story up on the message board of when we were trapped in an elevator. I'll be honest with you, I have no recollection of us being trapped in an elevator.
We were working together, as some of you may know, and in the Empire State Building, and I think we're up on, like, the 59th floor or something like that.
Yes, we were. Oh,
and
I'm still giggling at making out with people after 20 minutes. That's so funny.
There was, like, a small crew of maybe four or five of us. We were all hanging out in our little locker room office that we would regularly go at. And we were all going down for cigarettes at the time. Chris smoked. And we packed ourselves into an elevator, and we're all, like, poking each other's boobs and laughing at each other, doing all kinds of stuff. And one of our coworkers, I can't remember precisely who it was, but I have a guess, was like, hey guys, look at this. And he we're going, the elevator's moving, we're ticking down the floors, and he grabs his hands, sticks them in between the crack of the doors, and actually opens them, suggesting as if he's going to open them, but he opens them. And the brakes slam on the side of the elevator, and it just, like, stopped.
Yeah, dude, I'm almost positive I wasn't on this elevator.
We're totally on this. I think this was the big yellow one is the sun, or if there was something else crazy going on that we were all... Yeah, I remember you specifically.
I don't remember ever being in an elevator that was going down that the brakes crashed on. Again, I've said it many times before on our air. I have no clue. I have a lot of lost memories in my life.
Well,
that
it wasn't
I just
that we weren't even drinking or whatever. It's just
no, I'm not
happened.
Saying that. I just don't have a good memory.
Maybe you'll remember a little more details. Like we were stuck in there for not so long. Panic was setting in clearly on many of us, but we were still kind of giggling about the situation, and we started laughing about what a stupid. Thing that you did by opening the doors, and 3 minutes later was like, what a stupid freaking thing you did by opening those doors. And then a voice came over like the little loudspeaker that none of us recognized and kind of like scared the hell out of us. Clearly that
Brian, this is God, I exist.
An alarm went off and someone was someone down on the lobby level or something was communicating with us saying, you know, we know that you're stuck up there, we're going to be loosening up the brakes, and they kind of talked us down. And in fact they did it at such a slow rate that none of us realized that the elevator was moving. We were still thought we were stuck in there, and then the doors opened. We were at the lobby level. It was kind of like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet anything I wasn't on this elevator. Totally, it doesn't sound familiar. It doesn't sound familiar at all.
You know what's scary about elevators? It's such an easy way to end up in like a parallel universe or something. or another dimension. Like, you go in there and the door's shut and you don't know where you're going, and then it opens up and you're just in another place. Like,
imagine being a kid getting in an elevator for the first time. You walk in this room, the door shuts behind you, the door opens up, you're someplace else.
Yeah.
What in the hell is going on?
You know,
like I said, being a kid, or, you know, having a kid now is a thing that like makes you realize things like this. You realize, like, what is this kid thinking? What could possibly
be
going?
Do you think I'm asking?
No, I would involve talking. I don't do that.
It must feel weird a little too. Like it shakes a little, and you can kind of feel the stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like what's going on here? That like the world is different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When I was in San Francisco a couple months back, one of the days, part of my corporate event, my corporate week, one of the days, this guy came in and started teaching us. The whole thing was a cleverly hidden scavenger hunt that was starting, and basically they gave us this scavenger hunt deal. And as they started, they said, "All right, we're giving you guys 5 minutes. Run up to your rooms, get your comfortable shoes, whatever, blah blah blah." And everyone was in a rush in this hotel to get in the elevator all at the same time. And as we piled into the elevator, it was super, super, super packed as it was. And we started going, you know, up. It stopped at the next floor, you know, because there was like two different lobbies. There was like a lower lobby and a lobby. It stopped at the next floor. And there was a bunch of people from my office, from my company, that needed to get on the elevator to go up to their room too. So they thought that when this elevator was packed to the brim, the best thing to do would be, let's shove 17 more people inside this elevator. Like, and they literally shoved their ways in, that we all just banged into each other. The doors shut. The doors shut, and the elevator stopped moving and started slowly sinking. I'm like, crap. Like, we're going to be stuck in here, and it's an unbelievably uncomfortable group of things. Like, I mean, like, we literally probably had like 35 people trapped in this elevator. Maybe 35 is an exaggeration. Maybe it's like, we probably had 17.
You finally would have had your newsworthy moment then.
Yeah, 17 people probably. Like, it was close to 20 people who were in this elevator. And actually, our buddy Aeneas is in the chat room, was one of the people who couldn't take the elevator as a result. And then we started walking up we had to walk up the stairs to our rooms after.
I'm more concerned. Wait, I'm going to stop this 1 second. We're going to do a little interactive moment right here. For the sake of Mockman 41 and everyone else, my name is Keith.
Hi, Keith. Oh. My name is Chris.
And I'm Fred. No, wait, I'm Brian.
And it's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com.
Anyway.
But to chime in, by the way, Aeneas was on the elevator with us. He just pointed out the chat room. There were about 15 to 20 of us on this little elevator.
Jeez.
What was this corporate scavenger hunt all about?
Yeah, no,
the secretary's panties.
No, it's just like things that you look for.
It's an art.
Like stuff.
Was it real stuff though, just for the sake of fun, or was it like, you know?
No, it was a company that was hired that put together this scavenger hunt. That's what they do for a living.
But was the stuff you were finding work related, or
it wasn't just the scavenger hunt? Wow, this is bad. This is work. I might have to be leaving, guys.
Okay. See ya. Enjoy that scavenger hunt. Like, what would I? Now I want to know. What? I don't know what a... I know the scavenger hunt's like...
It's just like a... It's a corporate bonding thing. You know, it's like the... They used to do them all the time. You kind of get... It's a... Hey, come together and we'll build teams of people who don't normally work together and see if we can get sales to communicate with manufacturing, to communicate with these people. And here's a little puzzle that you guys can work out. And the first team that wins gets this T-shirt.
Right. We had that when I worked for 2 weeks for the new Pokemon store that was opening in Rockefeller Center. I quit before it opened, but... But because it was taking me, I think I started that job September 17th, 2001, nice. And I wasn't into the traveling to New York, to Manhattan thing. So,
people in the ARG world, and by ARG I mean alternate reality
Pirates,
gaming.
ARG.
They now, lots of those people have started up companies that do that sort of corporate team building stuff with an ARG little bend to it as well. Yeah, so it's kind of getting, and they do them, some of those are not necessarily corporate. Building either like anus in the chat room recognizes
it's anus,
that there's it's anus that it's there is like scavenger hunts that are based in certain cities. Alliance and Horde, I guess, are the two like World of Warcraft people.
Yes,
they do that kind of whatever.
He's a level 70. You should show him a little bit of respect.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. So
we'll always have anus.
They had us doing this whole thing like that whole thing with the as a matter of fact, in The Office, the British version of The Office, they did it with the fox and the chicken and the, you know,
right.
The fox will eat the chicken or the chicken will eat the food.
Right.
Or how do you get them across the river? And they had us doing these things, and one of them was I just remember the guy saying, this is very disappointing, because one of them was like, one of the results was, you know, how do you win? One of them you'd end up tied, and the other one you'd lose, and everyone was trying to win, and he was like, the true way was to end up tied, because everyone's pulling as a team here. No one's trying to outdo anyone else. They use the word proactive like 75 times a minute during that.
That meaningless word that sounds important.
Isn't that also the name of like a medication or something? like an acne medicine or something?
Like it can't just be active. Like whenever someone uses that in the context, like you got to be proactive. I guess they're insinuating that you have to do something before it becomes a problem. What they really mean is you've got to be active.
Yeah.
Stop saying proactive.
Don't be stagnant.
Start saying active. Don't be ridiculous.
Ugh, I hate corporations.
I hate redundancy.
I want to work for one though.
I hate redundancy.
I'm going to have a scavenger hunt. The first thing is somebody get me a job. That's the first thing you have to find.
Find Keith's job.
Preferably one in radio.
I don't think jobs exist in radio, much less a job for Keith in radio. Come on.
Yeah, probably not. That's a rough scavenger hunt. We have to get some college kids on that. Isn't that one of the new games of hip New Yorkers that moved here last year, like having scavenger hunts? Kind of like playing tag in the middle of the street kind of thing.
And if you win, you get a job. If you lose, you die. The trick is to tie, because then everyone's working together.
Alright, well, I think we lost Chris for the day, so he's probably done.
Yeah, that sucks. Do you have his book?
Yeah, and you know what?
We have to go through some topics.
I'm going to get right to it. Ooh, what can we talk about here? UFC 83.
Are we done with the elevator? Because I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess I could probably spool out my. I could talk about that for hours.
I want to talk about how amazing it is that if Chris wasn't here, I could come do the show. But for some reason, when he leaves me in the middle, I unravel. It's the gayest thing in the world, but I unravel.
Little...
I just can't. I can't function like when I'm thrown for a loss like that.
It's a little uncomfortable, I have to say, and it's also a little weird with not without having Fred here as well. Like I didn't find out that Fred wasn't going to be here until minutes before the show.
Yeah, Fred sent me a text message at like 10:30 last night saying, "I have the flu, I won't be there tomorrow."
Yeah, when I heard that, a little bit of me was like, "Oh God," you know, I was like, "No, no."
Yeah,
we gotta,
so I'm
like, compensate for Fred.
Yeah, I assumed everyone knew, and then I walk in and I say to. Chris made some kind of comment to me that, well, Fred's going to be sitting there as soon as he gets in. My reaction to Chris and Brian was, Fred's not coming in today.
Well, that, I mean, that was a little bit of panic came in. I was like, ugh, that kind of sucks. Because yeah, I guess I've gotten used to the four people, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was a little weird there, squeezing in. I'm sure it was weird squeezing me in, but squeezing in a fourth person, we were always worried about talking over each other. There's all kinds of weird stuff going on. Now it's like one man down, and it becomes pretty hard.
Yeah, it's rough. And you know what, Crispin, Brian, I gotta go.
I was totally just gonna, like, get up. I could totally do that. I could get up and walk out of here. What would you do if I got up and
See, I think I would have been better off, because then I just would have talked about the Mets for something, you know?
Not oh, I totally want to get up and out of here.
You ruined the joke already. You ruined the joke. Vanessa offering to call back. You yeah, can if you want.
Please.
You
Somebody
can if
call
you want.
Us.
It's not necessary, but...
I guess I should remind you I'm not gonna be here next week.
So why? Where are you going?
No great loss. You're probably going to have to sit in the producer's chair.
That's no, that's Chris's job. He's the backup producer.
We've split up. Chris is going to have to be Chris. Someone's got to be Brian. Welcome to my nightmare. Welcome to my dungeon.
I don't drink anymore, so I can't be either one of you. I haven't drank in... That's where I was going, by the way, before my doctor story.
Oh, yeah. Did I walk out in the middle of your doctor story? Do you have...
No, Chris said, not to interrupt you, but I'm changing the subject.
So, yeah, tell us. Are you going to die?
Well, no. I have low vitamin D. For whatever that means, and I have high cholesterol, which isn't a surprise, but the thing is, I have now not drank in like 19 days or something.
Because of the high blood pressure?
Because of the GERD, as they call it, the gastroenter-whatever-reflux disease, which is basically acid reflux, yeah. But bad version of it. It's I have to let my esophagus attempt to heal.
Oh, because you thought you had esophageal cancer.
Well, I still think I do every 5 seconds, but that's
because someone said the word esophageal cancer.
Yeah. I think it's spread all over my body at this point. You know, like, but aside from that, assuming that's not the case, then I have to, you know, like, avoid that ever happening. So hot sauce and alcohol aren't on my list of things. But
dude, I don't know what would be harder, hot sauce or alcohol. Good God.
I've craved... Last week, Chris was saying how he finds it fascinating that I haven't craved a drink. And Fred was asking, you know, when you get home from work, do you crave one?
Yeah, I'm not like
that. And I'm not craving them when I get home. But for some reason last night, I really just got annoyed because I just wanted to have a glass of wine. And I was just annoyed that I couldn't.
Wine?
I mean, not to the point where I'm going to, you know. Like, it's not that I'm never going to drink again. It's just that, you know, like, I can't do anything now. I have to be so bland and dull now that it's like...
So your doctor told you not to drink because of the acid reflux?
No, my doctor told me, do everything in moderation. I personally decided that if I continue to drink, it's not going to do me much good. If I really want this to heal, even with the Prilosec, so I just decided not to drink for now. I said, you know what, let me go a stretch without drinking and see what
you know,
that's like.
I've been bandying around the same concept for issues I've been having out the other end. It's I should do the same thing. I've been saying I'd give it up for the summer maybe, but I'm thinking like a couple months run, just stop drinking and smoking for a little bit, see if that does anything.
Mockman 41 has been begging.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's a dancing cat. I think it's a dancing cat with one eye, actually. But anyway, yeah, so I figured I'd go stretch and see what that's like. And I don't know. It's not... it's dull, but it's not a big problem. You know, it's not as much as I thought it would be. I guess it's good. At least I know I could cross alcoholism off my list of things that I have. Because it's been such a breeze to go through it, you know, like basically... Even a slight craving like last night, it hasn't been like anything killing me. But you know.
How long are you gonna go?
I don't know. A while.
Have you been out to like a bar or anything while you wouldn't drink?
I wouldn't have been anyway.
See, I wanted
Chris and our buddy Enos there were actually hanging out together one night, and it was about a week in, and Chris calls me up and says, "You always tell me I never want to hang out and go out, so tonight we're gonna go here and here." And I was just like, you know what, man, I don't
see that kind of sucks, because I was in the back of my head, I'm trying to put together a little post show or pre-show, actually, as it might turn out, 2 weekends from now somewhere in Staten Island. I want you guys to take me out and show me the town.
I'll drink a gallon of rum now just to make the plan. Now, you know what,
can you break in 2 weekends? Can we make this happen?
I also think I'm more able to you know, function without it. Not function. It's not like I can't make it out of my bed without alcohol, but like I'm also able to do things that normally I would say I'll save that for when I'm drinking, you know, like and
How about if you're at a party, a whole bunch of people are sitting around drinking beer, passing around whiskey, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
I yell at them.
That's what you do? You don't drink? You drink.
Dude, I don't know what part of me you think still goes to parties and bars and things.
You're going to be at a party in 2 weeks.
Okay, I'll be at a party and
people will be drinking.
I'll have some water.
All right.
We'll see. Water is a chaser.
Quitter.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's not anything that I'm going to have a problem with.
Congratulations, man.
Unless I've already allowed alcohol back in at that point. But that's kind of close. I think that's a little too soon, 2 weeks. I need to go back to the doctor and find out. I need to get it all resolved. I honestly think I'm dying every 5 seconds. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know, is hypochondria and OCD related? Because in my case, I think it totally is.
You might be right.
I have fears. Don't ever leave again. I have fears that, like...
That Chris is going to leave?
Yeah.
Chris is just
so I'm afraid of elevators. I'm afraid to be in an elevator now.
Cross UFC off the list. Me and Brian took care of it just now.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, we just discussed how I unravel when you leave the room. I could do the show by myself if I knew you weren't going to be here, but I totally unravel if you leave.
It was exacerbated by the Fred.
Then Fred
the
said
Fred
that. Then Brian said that
as well.
And the most disappointing thing is after me and Brian talking for about 15 minutes, Robert Downey asking, "So Chris is back at work?"
And apparently he'd quit that job if they could call him on a Sunday. I wish I could quit it too, but they'd pay a lot better than this radio gig does. So what am I going to do? Oh, so I'm sorry. I don't know where you guys are at, where you guys were, where you've been.
We were discussing
like
how I haven't drank in almost 3 weeks, and Brian's asking me in 2 weeks if there's a little shindig if I will drink at it. And I said, I don't know.
I haven't had a drink in 2 days now. 2 days haven't had a drink.
On purpose?
Yeah, the purpose is that I don't have the money. I can't afford it in paydays in a couple of days, and I know myself that if I go buy a 40, it turns into I have to buy a couple of cases.
I have a bottle of orange sherry I could have given you.
Yeah, I want to drink, though. I don't actually want to cook, so I'm okay.
He has a bottle of whiskey as well. He could have brought it.
I do have your bottle of whiskey, which is annoying because I have to move it every time I pull my toaster out because I don't have much space, and I curse Brian every time I want to toast
something.
Put it
on top of the freezer. If you don't have like a liquor cabinet or something, throw that bad boy in the freezer.
I was actually going to bring
that
to you and say
for
here.
Scotch?
Seagram 7. I keep a stash of...
But you keep it cold?
No, it's just on top of the freezer because nothing else goes there. You know what I mean? It's not going to be in the way.
I have a little section of my closet that gets the liquors that I don't enjoy. And then right on the counter right next to the microwave is where the vodka goes. Basically, the vodka and amaretto because my wife drinks amaretto occasionally.
See, I have a bar. I basically have like a cabinet that is a bar. I've got like 30 bottles down there.
That's a sign of a problem, basically.
No, it's when an
adult male is living in a small apartment and you have to make sure that part of that apartment is dedicated to organizing your liquors, that means you have a problem.
I'd say I live in a relatively large apartment these days, but yes, when I have had a small apartment.
Dude, relatively large apartment.
Dude, I got a kitchen, I got a living room, I got a dining room, I got one bedroom, I even got a little closet that I make
okay,
in my office.
So you have a one-bedroom apartment that somehow to you is translated into a large apartment.
I've been living in New York City for the past 9 years.
But
just that
because
is a large apartment.
Just because you've lived in a smaller place doesn't mean that you're not. Doesn't mean that the place that you're in now is large. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you live in squalor or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that.
By New York standards, it's a. I'm.
You live in Brooklyn though. You don't live in New York. Don't fool yourself.
By Brooklyn standards, even it's a relatively large place.
Okay.
I say.
Okay. It's not a place that should have a dedicated bar.
Oh come on.
Unless of course you are dedicated to the bar.
Yeah, you could put a dedicated bar in a bathroom, I think, if you're that dedicated.
But that's what I'm saying. That's a sign to me of a problem. You actually have to have a bar and have an organized bar in a place that's kind of a small place that you actually have to have like a full-on bar. Like our buddy The Hutch. Our buddy The Hutch, half of his house, his main like room is a bar. I think he will admit readily that he is a full-blown alcoholic. When you walk in, you feel like you're walking into an Irish pub when you walk into his house. Like he's got, you know, like I mean, like all the, you know, Guinness paraphernalia on the wall and stuff like that. Like I said, it's just, you know, it's just like when you're a guy who has a room of your house, of your size of the house at that, dedicated to a radio studio, you have a problem because you're addicted to trying to do internet radio.
Where's your bar?
I say I'm a connoisseur. It's not a lot.
I agree, it's a little thing.
I want to have a whole bunch of different kind of things. So if I get a little wild hair up my butt and I want to make some crazy cocktail, I want to have all the fixings.
I love the idea of a bar. My wife and I always wanted a bar.
Most alcoholics do. Most alcoholics do love the idea of a bar.
We just established that I'm not an alcoholic. I figured out.
No, you lied to yourself.
My only problem is I'm dying of terminal diseases.
My problem is I'll go out, instead of like actually making simple syrup, I'll go out and buy like the simple syrup from the thing. And just simple syrup is basically sugar and water. And instead of sitting it and boiling it and making out that mixture, I'll just go out and buy it because I'm too lazy to make it happen. I'm wasting money.
I had no idea they sold simple sugar.
Yeah, simple syrup.
Simple syrup, excuse me.
Yeah, they got that. And
I know they sell corn syrup. I didn't know they sold simple syrup.
Well, they call it simple syrup, and it's strictly for mixing drinks.
Simple syrup says.
Simple syrup says, ding, no
so,
match.
So, Brian, do you read that website, Drunken, what is it called? It's this website dedicated to... It's this website dedicated to alcoholism, basically.
To alcoholism or to the art of alcohol?
To the art of alcohol. I can't remember what it's called now. Drunkensomething.com. It's a good... or something drunkard. Drunk.
drink.drink.
I did read, like... I can't think of a blog, like a cocktail blog, but I do read, like, this one guy. He comes up with different things every once in a while and posts it.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was drunkensailor.org. It was a different site.
Yeah, see, I couldn't understand. Don't get me wrong. I definitely enjoy drinking, and I definitely have a problem with the fact that I enjoy drinking as much as I do, and I acknowledge it. But I don't spend my time talking about drinking.
I guess so.
Or looking at drinking. To me, that's kind of like a dude who smokes a joint and says, dude, I am so high. I got this bud that's got red hairs in it, and it's sick, man.
I guess that's the difference between, like, cocktails and beer. There's really not too much you can, like, know or have to know about beer.
Oh, I beg to differ.
You'll have a brand that you like, or, like, hey, something new is coming out, and you'll do it. Like, there's
Are you going to tell me there's no difference between lagers and ales and box and triple box?
There is a difference, but I think there's more of a culture behind being...
I'll agree with that.
And I think it goes hand in hand with people, the same kind of person that would... Like, enjoy, like, you know...
A cigar.
Hang a poster of, like, a Detective Comics issue of 1950 is the same kind of person that would want the bar, you know, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, there's an infinite amount of, like, mixtures that you can... Like, if someone...
No, it's finite.
It's finite, certainly. Actually, no, it's infinite, because there are certain numbers and things, and it can be mixed up in
lots of ways.
Yeah.
But not infinite.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Drunkard.com is the website.
But like,
and it's Modern Drunkard magazine puts it out.
Like you can know maybe as a beer drinker you'll have to maybe know about this new beer that came out or where to get this beer. You have to know as a cocktail drinker someone asks you to make an old fashioned, you got to know how to make it and have it
If I go to your house right now and I ask you to make me a slippery nipple, could you?
No, I don't think I could do a slippery nipple.
Could you give me a sex on the beach?
No, I don't think I could.
Could you give me a slow, comfortable screw against the wall, Mexican style?
Why are you all these drinks? What's with the girl, like, frat girl drinks?
A slow, comfortable screw against the wall, Mexican style, is the furthest thing from a frat girl drink.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke because you said sex on the beach. I don't know. That's a
These
real
are
drink.
All jokey drinks. That
like
are
I knew
made
sex
up
on the beaches, but when you said that, that's why I thought you were saying a slow, comfortable screw.
I can usually decipher one of those, but I don't know if I could make them in the correct quantities. Like slow, that's
slow
a slow gin, right? Comfortable is Southern comfort. Screw would be with orange juice. What'd you say? Up against the wall.
Against the wall.
What is that? That means something. You stumped me right there.
That would be Galliano, the big bottle that bangs against the wall that is used for a Harvey wall banger. So against
wall
the wall.
Banger, that's it.
And
Mexican style,
tequila?
What, tequila?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See? You look at you.
But those are the jokey, kind of...
A slow, comfortable screw.
That's less than a drink. That's like you're drinking the name of that drink. No one likes that drink.
A slow, comfortable screw with amaretto. You know what that is? It's otherwise known as an Alabama slammer.
Oh, wow. See, Alabama Slammer, I wouldn't have been able to get, but now
it's a slow, comfortable screw with a shot of amaretto. That's all it is. And then a slow, comfortable screw with amaretto combined with a kamikaze, which is vodka, lime, and triple sec. What's that? Anyone? Anyone?
Vodka, lime, and triple... A slow, comfortable screw and a kamikaze?
That's like a Long Island iced
slow,
tea.
A slow, comfortable screw with amaretto and a kamikaze. What is that?
Long Island iced
tea? Japanese turtle.
That's actually called a red devil. A red devil.
Oh. And, I like then, that
and then if you drop a shot of amaretto...
All of your drinks are like the sorority drinks.
And these then if you... All? Dude, a red devil, you would die if you drank a red devil.
I'm not saying they're not powerful and stuff like
die.
That. But they're all the Kool-Aid and the Long Island stuff. It's all like teenager drinks and stuff.
Robert Downey goes to the bar and he orders a Coke and a Diet Coke mixed.
But that's what I mean. There's a lot of stuff that you can that
if you drop a tequila in a Red Devil, it becomes a Red Death.
Wow.
So is that the one he died from?
Yeah, I got confused.
You should write a cocktail blog.
Is McCutcheon's a real whiskey?
But those are the only those are the four drinks I know how to make.
GirlDrinkDrunk.com.
Oh man, what's a slippery nipple? A woo woo? Could somebody get me a woo woo, please? All the girls that I used to know when we would go to the rock clubs when I would go to you know like Billy O's on Staten Island, I would go get myself a beer and the girls would say, hey, get me a woo woo.
A woo woo.
I love woo woo.
What the hell is that?
Vodka, peach schnapps, and cranberry. Delicious.
I think it's not.
That's it really
also,
is.
That's a name for like a binky.
It's like my woo woo.
Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, can you
have what's woo-woo? A best in show?
A best in show is urine.
Let's think about it.
Urine, the bottom of an ashtray, and
let's each come up with a liquor to go in the best in show.
Fred, what do you want to put in it?
Bong water.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Who's starting? I think it's obvious that it has to be vodka based, right?
Yeah, I don't even think we
why? Because you guys like vodka.
Okay.
Three of the four of us like vodka. I don't know if Vanessa's a vodka drinker or not. I think she's a vodka drinker as well.
Can I go as far as to put a mead or a honey based wine in it?
Mm-hmm.
As mine.
Vodka and mead.
Now we're all just going to do liquors here. Like no one's going to put any. No one's.
If you want to throw some trips
to celery, I want to put a mixer in there.
I want
know?
Celery. I'd like.
I would
celery.
Love to throw some grenadine.
See,
we need
mixers. We need all this.
Okay.
So every you're like there you go. You're mead. Well, I'm gonna be scotch.
Ustreamer 49063 says, "You mean the best in show cocktail isn't a Coors Light?" Surprising, isn't it? Ooh, Vanessa wants to add sake. So we're talking about sake,
no.
Mead, and vodka.
Can I veto?
Veto is not. He's not gonna make any selections here. He doesn't want to do that. Yeah, I don't like the
I'll
idea
cut out
of this.
Mead. I'll cut out mead if we're...
Sake and vodka.
I like mead.
Sake's really disgusting.
Yeah, sake bad.
All right, so mead, vodka. Mead and vodka. One of you guys is going to have to try this for me.
Mead, vodka. I actually just dumped out a bottle of sake, which has nothing to do with mead or vodka. I dumped out a bottle of sake from my house.
I don't know. See, you're not an alcoholic.
Prosecco.
What's up?
If you were a true alcoholic, you would have kept that in case, and you would have drank it in case. If you can say, I have something here that will get me drunk, but instead I'm not going to drink because I don't like it, then you're not an alcoholic.
Oh, man.
That's why I also say, since Brian left that bottle, I said to myself, when Brian left that bottle, if I start drinking this because there's nothing else, the worst thing in the world, what is it?
It's Seagram 7.
Ugh. But if I start drinking that, you know, it's going to be a problem. But I never even thought of it.
Here's the problem is you're going to one day grow some hair on your nuts, and you're going to go out and get a bottle of 7-Up.
Yeah, you're going to be a man and drink man
and
drinks.
And get a bottle of Sierra Mist.
And then, we're going to go to the bar, and we're going to get a nice rocks glass, and we're going to fill it with Glenfiddich, and we're going to sit there and sip it. And we're going to sip it, and we're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it. And you're going to feel the difference between a single malt and a double malt, and you're going to understand and think it's delicious.
We're going to grab a cigar and talk about Hemingway.
It tastes like gasoline and ass.
See, I was just going to go the opposite way.
It tastes like a gas hole. That's what it tastes like.
I was going to go the opposite way because you mix Seagram 7 with 7-Up, and it turns into a sugar drink, basically. So you're going to...
No, it doesn't. I've drank 7 I've and 7s. They're disgusting.
Yeah, oh, they're work. Delicious. They're disgusting. Sugary little sugar drinks.
By the way, I'm blown away by the suggested drink in the chat room of mixing wild turkey with half of the Perkins menu. Mainly more, though, blown away by the person who's doing it. If that's my Jay Carter, I love you, buddy. I'm happy to see you here for the show. Oh, man.
You're Jay Carter.
It's actually Jimmy Carter. It's actually Jimmy Carter.
Oh, it's Jimmy Carter. Damn it. Well, you were my president, too. You were my president. You know I cried when Jimmy Carter lost to Reagan? I swear to God I did, because I felt like my country had been taken away. I swear to God. I was a little kid. I was, 7 years old? What did I know? I just knew, like, this is the only president that I knew in my lifetime. Holy crap, this crazy guy came in and stole, and he's taking my president's job. And I cried.
You stole your country.
A little fairy I was.
Sold it.
Oh, man. But he broke the unions,
at
least.
He sold your country for crack.
At least he broke the unions. That's all I cared about.
He stole it from an idiot, though, that I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. At seven, I had any clue what was going on. I just knew that he was the dude with the big teeth. It was he was a peanut farmer.
Do you have any clue what's going on now?
What's that?
Do you have any clue what's going on?
No, that's not true, I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right. So you guys want to talk about anything else, or did we just end it there? So this week I was looking into my body. I was staring at it longingly in the mirror, and I'm noticing all these hideous skin tags that I have all over my body. By the way, you listen to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk. HearUsTalk.com. It's a fancy little network with us, our buddy DJ Newstyle. We put together this little radio conglomerate, which is just two dudes. So it's still a conglomerate, but just a small one. And we do it here week in, week out. He does it week in, week out on Tuesdays, 9 to 11. We do it Sundays, 11 to 2, and God knows when else and whenever else some things are going to happen. But whatever, you want to get us on the hotline, 877-744-6405, Instant Messenger, Best in Show Brian, Best in Show Keith, or just be in one of the chat rooms where you should already be if you're not.
So, skin tag?
So I'm looking in the mirror at my body. Do you know what a skin tag is?
A tattoo?
No.
No, it's grosser than that.
A skin tag is like a growth of skin. They're not quite warts. They're just like little things. No, please get it. That's a skin tag. That's exactly a skin tag. That was really disgusting, the way that you felt like you had to show it. If I mean, I hope the video will be. Oh God! Well, you're showing literally me in the Pal Talk room. There's no one in Pal Talk but me. So
he wanted you to see it again.
Yeah, he wanted me to see it closer up through my computer screen. But a skin tag is like it's like a wart kind of, but there's nothing to it other than it's skin, extra skin growing. It seems to be a fairly common thing for fat guys to have. I don't know what the reason being behind it is.
I've had that little thing on my lower eyelid forever. Okay. I've never known what to call it.
I don't have that.
Fantastic. I bet you do. You probably just can't see them. Or maybe you don't. I don't know.
I have moles that look like freckles, but not like...
Yeah, that's disgusting. Freckles, I mean. Just having freckles is disgusting.
Mine's a tiny little bump, like on my bottom
eyelid. I've got them all over the place. I mean, I got like three or four that I know of. Maybe five. Okay. And strangely, right off the bat, White Ass Brent in the chat was talking about you just wrap a piece of floss around the skin tag and yank it off.
It's never grown enough for me to actually get
this
thing. I pick mine off every once in a while.
This is the thing. Awful. This is where I'm at right now. I am kind of concerning myself with skin tag removal. And how do I do it? I'm not going to go to a doctor to get it done, because that's just ridiculous.
Burn it.
I might try this floss. Moles that look like freckles are precancerous sign of throat cancer.
I
feel better now. one of the guys that I worked with suggested that I heat up a nail clipper and clip them off, and the heat will actually cauterize the wound as you do it. So I was thinking about trying that, but now this idea of wrapping floss around the skin tag sounds like a good idea too.
All right, I'm sure there's not going to be any
fishing line. Maybe put some fishing line around it.
There's not going to be any pain-free way to do this, so you're just going to have to like kind of warm up to the fact that it's going to hurt, right?
Yes.
So I've got this little.
Is this a YouTube video for Best in Show? Chris's skin tag
God,
removal.
No, don't make that our like premiere. God. I got this little, they call it, there's a name for it. It's like an old-timey little gadget that you get at your pharmacy.
A gun?
it's a something stick or a something, whatever. A
styptic pencil?
Something like that. Yeah, that's what it is.
A styptic pencil just stops bleeding.
I cut my face shaving or something like that, or as it stands, my ear, because strangely enough, I have little white hairs that grow on the sides of my ear.
You shave your ears.
I shave the tops of my ears because
have ceased to be human.
Every 2 weeks or so, this little peach fuzz has gotten out of control on the top of my ears, and I can't just
sit
there and.
There's this little electric nose hair clippers. You can use that across your ear so you don't cut it. Because if you cut your ear, you'll bleed for days.
See, I take care of the inside ear stuff with that, but the outside, I just zap it while I'm shaving. Every once in a while, I cut it, and yeah, it bleeds for days. I take that Steptic pencil and just touch it on the wound. Gone. Yes, it does.
On the ear, really?
Any wound that I've ever had. Like, I don't even need stitches anymore. If I ever break anything, I'm just rubbing a pencil on it.
The best things I've heard of, one I haven't tried in a long time, because obviously I don't have rolling papers around my house anymore, but if you touch
Only blunts now?
If you touch a rolling paper, or any kind of cigarette paper, to your ear or a bad cut, your lip or something, it usually stops the bleeding pretty fast.
That's crazy talk.
No, it does. And ice works
but
well.
But that's the same thing as putting toilet paper on it. It doesn't work any better than toilet paper.
It does. It's
let me cut you twice right now. I'll get rolling paper and a toilet paper.
Roll one up, twice.
That Steptic pencil works great. Like, I do the toilet paper stuff. I would put, like, whole things to try to get it together.
What it burns when you touch people? When you use the Steptic pencil, it burns
It does. It hurts. So zapping that little skin tag off and then putting a that's going to hurt like hell. But
I'm not worried about that, per se. I was just trying to think what the best way to do it was and get rid of it. I was thinking that heating up the nail clipper somehow would... It would be kind of like the hot knife going through my buttery skin. I thought that the heat would actually aid in the removal. Yeah,
except butter has no nerves.
Yeah, I don't think my little skin tag does either.
I don't know about that, man. It's the same skin. It's just bunched up.
You're going to have to cut it deep enough. You're not just going to get rid of the skin tag. You're going to actually have to get down to the skin. You're going to have to get it like at its root. Yeah, because if you just...
It's not a wart like that. It's not a root like that.
But I'll bet you if you just get the top of it, bloop, it'll still be there. And first of all, it'll bother you. Secondly, it'll probably grow back.
It already bothers me.
Right. So why bother getting rid of it if you're not going to get rid of all of it?
Does it look like a shrimp?
Plankton.
This is the part of our show where we choke back our vomit
organs,
for 10 minutes.
My organs roll up into my body 3 times a show now every week. Oh, see, that's a pimp. Oh,
right now,
he's playing with it.
Right now, Chris is showing deep his skin tag.
I could feel the burning itch when you play with it. It hurts, right?
It doesn't feel like anything. It feels like touching my stomach.
Stop it.
Skin tags. Enjoy them.
When I say stop it, I mean living.
Vanessa, right now, has just said in the chat room that she's going to throw up. Vanessa, what would you do if someone came into the dungeon and said, I need you to insult my skin tags?
No, I need you to clip my skin tags. I want you to get rid of these with this.
I would
piece
like
of
to be.
Floss.
Yeah, is that a deal that we could. Could we broker that?
Wait, isn't there. Not
her response
away
is
from
kick
this,
them in the ribs.
Isn't there like a.
And they're
charged up $200.
Is their skin tagged ribs then?
Isn't there like a fetish of like of being insulted, of like having your small genitalia, or I guess in some cases your large genitalia insulted and
ew, that's so big. Ew, what's the insult there?
If a person has
there's a friend of mine who's got a very large penis and he is upset by it.
Yeah, it's a mental thing. You know, it's going to be a mental thing. If you're embarrassed by it for whatever reason, then. You know, maybe that's what you're into. You know?
You know our buddy Dennis from Saints and Lovers? Maybe the most ridiculously large hog I've ever seen in my life.
He didn't seem to be so sensitive about it. I guess
was there more to that story?
This friend of mine is like...
No, I just want to tell you that Dennis had a big thing.
I love that it's come to you guys whipping out other people's in a contest.
He's my friend is embarrassed by it. Like, he's got an issue with it. If you talk about it, you can see him kind of like, he doesn't want people to know about it.
I would
it.
Talk about it constantly. Honestly, just
talk
like
about it, would you just never wear clothes again?
No, about his, I'm saying, if I knew him. I love our buddy Dave. Our buddy Dave has a pretty large member. Why are we talking about guys' things?
Where not?
Why
you're just deciding to name your friends that.
Why did you guys bring this up?
He's right.
Why did we start talking about this?
I was asking. I was saying there's like a fetish, a part of a humiliation fetish, is being like insulted about that. You know, like
Your skin tag is so tiny.
I think I'm gonna cut one off today after the show. Will you videotape it?
Do it in the chat room. If you're gonna do it, do it for the people who came to be a part of the show. Do it for the chat room, and not for the Pal Talk chat room. I guess that really wouldn't work.
She insulted my skin tag. What's wrong with that? It wasn't my skin tag.
All right, I think I'll do it.
Are we going to be able to pull this off? I guess that one probably, right?
Yeah, no one's really going to be able to see it. That's the only problem with the cams that we have. We can only do
it
in Pal Talk.
The other problem is I will be able to see it.
Yeah, why don't you guys go? Everyone, go over to the Pal Talk room, and I'll start clipping my body apart.
I was gonna start asking Vanessa questions, but hold on.
Great. Now we're chasing Vanessa away. She's gonna go start playing Warcraft because she's appalled by the prospect of me removing skin tags.
Let's hold off on that. Let's not have you remove.
I have one on my eyelid too. I don't know.
That's way more common, I think.
I've got.
I'm not going to cut that one off.
Yeah, don't cut your eye out.
I'll just cut my whole eyelid off, and I'll never go to sleep. I'll just always have my eye open, like, hey, what's going on, guys?
That apparently is the only skin tag that I have or am aware of, and it irritates me that it's there. And every once in a while, I'll get a little picky at it, and I'll start yanking it, and it'll bleed.
I got one right there underneath my arm. See that?
That just looks like a freckle to me. Like it's a bump. A bumpy freckle.
No. It just
like a pimple or something.
See, I'm trying to show. Well, you didn't like me yanking on it like that? That bothered you?
That did bother me a little bit.
I'm trying to think if I have any more.
Keith is gritting his teeth. Just like, oh.
I'm looking all over now to see if I have. It's like feeling for lumps.
It's best in show. It's the skin tag hour. We're here just hanging out, talking, just being friends. Doing what kind of...
You know what? I do have something underneath my arm that I think qualifies.
If the one on your eyelid is white, it's not a skin tag. It's built up cholesterol, according to White S. Brent.
Well, it's not brown, so I guess, you know, white. It is white. It's not. It doesn't look like a freckle. Like it actually just looks like it's white. Like my skin is white, so I guess it's pink.
I think that's what he's talking about, and he's saying it's built up cholesterol. You should watch your cholesterol, Brian.
I'm starving.
Watch it go down your throat.
Oh man, that's a good one. That's like a joke. So I'm trying to think what other things I want to go through because I know we're coming close to the end of the show. I'm trying to think what other things I need to get out. Before.
You don't want
to
just babble for another little while.
Can we talk about copy?
About nothing, dude. Whether you like it or not, topic 3 says skin tag removal. That was that was intentional. That was 100% something I planned on talking about today. Let's see. Okay. Number 4 is lost, and I'm not going to talk about that.
Really.
I'm personally not going to talk about that. If you guys want to, I'll go in the other room and remove my skin tag when that happened.
No, well, there must be other things to talk about with Lost. I mean, that was a pretty amazing episode. Did you... You've seen the episode.
Yes. More importantly than Lost is... it was a show I watched this week called The Brooklyn Way. The Brooklyn Way. You guys familiar with The Brooklyn Way?
I am now familiar with The Brooklyn Way.
The Brooklyn Way is some fine programming by the people at Fuse.
Why are you watching Fuse?
Fuse.
That's worse than me watching Degrassi on the N.
You would think so. You would think so. Well, but Fuse, the Fuse Network, is not a show that I regularly watch. Basically, I watch two shows. I watch Ultimate Fighter and I watch Lost. And that's the extent of what I watch. And I watch Dexter when it comes back. That's it. So I watch three shows.
That's a lot of noggin.
I personally do not. My daughter does, and I might be in the room vacantly staring at the screen
while
it's on.
You know all the details. Whatever I approach you about it, I ask
dude, I got news for you. Six days from now, I'm going to see the Backyardigans live, so you don't need
rock
to tell me that. You don't tell me that I don't
they're
know
real?
About kids. No, there are going to be people in big costumes dressed up that are charging me way too much money to go see it, but it's my kid's birthday, and that's what she wants to see.
Where is that show?
I'm going to Camden, the lovely Camden, New Jersey, to go see the Backyard against.
Is it like a big arena? Or?
Yes.
Not exactly your backyard.
No, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
So the Brooklyn Way.
Yeah. So the Brooklyn Way is the show on Fuse. It's about a Brooklyn rap group called the Lords of Brooklyn.
Z. Lords with a Z.
Yes. The Lords of Brooklyn with a Z. Mr. Caves is a member of the Lords of Brooklyn. Mr. Caves is actually an old school New York, I would say, graffiti legend. He's not super 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 famous, but people that actually know graffiti at all do know who he is. You know, the New York graffiti know who he is, and he was somewhat of a Brooklyn legend. And they had a hit single like maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and they were about to blow up, and then nothing happened.
Because I know I've heard of them.
Well, I got news for you. You and I've told the story on the air before of me getting my labret ring when I got my labret pierced, waking up in my van, totally, totally confused. Is this their hit single?
This is the one that they came back with, if you recall, Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, I don't recall it. Yeah, it's going to be distracting to me. So whatever it was, well, I told the story about doing when I got the labret ring when I got that done, this is really distracting, please. like someone talking behind me while I'm talking. Like, you know,
he's
how am
I singing. He's singing.
Chris repeatedly begs for music to be off.
Seriously, it's out of control. But I told the story of waking up in my van, being pierced and being really confused. That night, we went to go see our friend's band play at Coney Island High. And opening up the show that night was the Lords of Brooklyn. They played that night with them.
That's why I know them.
Okay. The like I said, Mr. Caves of the Lords of Brooklyn was actually a friend of our buddy Joey Sims. Our buddy Joey Sims, who passed away just a little over a year ago now. So about, I guess it was Monday of this past week, I actually got a text message from Joe's mom saying, hey, make sure you're watching Fuse on Thursday night, 10:30. There's a, you know, Joey's going to be on a show called The Brooklyn Way. With I don't know if it's All Brooklyn Way or The Brooklyn Way.
Was it something he filmed or something they talking about him? Or
I guess no, it's something he specifically filmed for his buddy's show, and like weeks later is when he died.
Oh, okay.
So it's really nuts. And it was the first time you know, I'd seen it. I don't know if his parents had seen it or anything, but it was just a really, really crazy thing to watch it and just to see it. I don't know. It was just something that I saw, and it was it's been kind of put me on like a weird emotional thing, because the thing is, it's just nuts. Like, you know, to see somebody, to see footage of someone that you know after they're gone that you didn't know existed. Like, to learn about stuff like that, it's just so weird, and especially something that was so close to when he passed away, because it was, you know, it was filmed a few weeks before he died, probably like maybe a week or two after I saw him last, or a week or so after I saw him last. So it's just nuts. Nuts stuff, and that's just something. So that was the Brooklyn Way.
Is that going to be on again? Or?
I'm sure if you go to fuse.com, you could probably just see the show itself. I'm sure you can get it off of like Minova, and actually I have it on my TV inside after the show if you want to watch it. I got to find a way to save it.
That's great. I've been seeing some more Sims tags around town in like Soho and stuff where I was working and stuff that I hadn't noticed before, and I wondered if it was just more tribute pieces because of
the vast majority of the stuff that's out there is tribute pieces, because he focused the last couple of years of his life. He stopped really doing like graffiti and tagging in the street. He started focusing on doing more I guess legit graffiti. He was actually really painting more. He wasn't really doing graffiti so much as he was stretching his own canvases and painting. And, you know, like he had his house was basically a gallery at that point.
And music a lot more.
Well, yeah, and music too. I was saying, but yeah, art. I mean, you know, paint art wise, it was more painting stuff. But yeah, then he just got a record deal. I don't know why I brought this up, but it was just something that was on this week and something that that got to me, and it was just crazy. I was telling Brian before he came here today, I was like a little, you know, creep. I was crying in this room earlier today, just, you know, listening to stuff.
I didn't know that was the angle of the whole Lords of Brooklyn thing. I thought you were gonna come in and say what a big fan you were of Lords of Brooklyn and like how you were really gonna watch the show.
Nope. I mean, don't get me wrong. I the guy's a friend of a friend who's supportive of a friend. And I, as a result of that, I'll do what I can to support him in any way. He's actually gone out. He's promoted Joey's music. He's actually made a point to actually they did some cover stuff of some of Joey's stuff. He's, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of their music, but it's, you know, it's okay. It's okay for what it is.
I just posted a picture that on there from their MySpace thing in the. In the website, which I just find funny. It's like 50 dudes with cigars in the same hat.
Well, that's the thing. Actually, I think Kangol actually gave them a hat. Like, there's actually a Lords of Brooklyn hat that's actually licensed by Kangol. So that's probably what they're all wearing. It has like a crown on the Kangol. Like, it's like it should be like a Kangol fedora, if I'm not mistaken.
And the best part of the picture is everyone's looking down at the table or at each other, and there's one dude just looking up at the camera for some reason.
Why
like
wouldn't
that.
He? Wait, I gotta see it.
Like, this dude's just looking up, and no one else is looking at the camera. I wonder if that's intentional. And now it's come to the point where I'm analyzing a picture from some band's.
Yeah, I can't tell from the picture. I'm trying to recognize who. I don't see Caves in that picture, but. What, hip hopping you?
By the way, that doesn't make you a creep. You're a creep for way so many more other reasons.
Wait, what do you mean? What, who did I say?
You said crying made you were being a creep and crying.
Oh, because I hate being.
I'll make a list of why you're a creep, though, if you want. It'll make you feel better.
Number one, skin tags. Number two, making fun of your own skin tags. I'm not a. I'm an excessively emotional guy, but I don't really wear it out that much. I don't talk about it nearly that much. I guess I like to hide things. I like to be like a little homo that hides in a room and cries to myself, like, and doesn't even let my wife know that I'm crying type stuff. That's whatever.
Well, you can't let your wife know that you're crying. You're okay.
Because then she'll think I'm a freak, and I don't want that to happen. Yeah, it's not even that. It's not even a matter of that. It's just like, I'm not looking for sympathy for my sadness. I just want to deal with my sadness on my own, I guess. I don't know.
Shut up.
I only talk about it on a radio show. You know, why? It's not the same. Like, but I wouldn't want people to talk to me about it. I don't know.
And that's why I'm not going to talk to you about it.
I still.
Please do.
I think that, I obviously, to say, like, oh, men shouldn't cry, you know, like, it's ridiculous. But I think you still feel like that. You know, like, you still feel like if you're crying that you're still embarrassed by it, even though logically and intellectually, you know, there's, you know, like, that stupid macho talk to say that men shouldn't cry, you know, like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't feel that way when you do.
I don't know that it's, like I said, I didn't say anything yet, but I don't think that, I don't think it's that I'm afraid to be the guy who cries or that I try and hide. I don't think that's it at all. It's
you don't,
like,
feel a little. You don't feel a little bit that way, though.
I feel no shame for my tears. No. I feel no shame for my tears. I feel no shame for letting people know what. What do you think of yourself?
I'm sorry. I'm just we're all sitting around at a table, like, admitting to each other that there's no shame in our own tears and that we cry and we're very open about it. And I can just, like, hear Veal Chop's penis shrinking down into his body. It's just he's got to be hating this.
I'm gonna cry if that happens.
It'll be a very sad, emotional
this
thing.
This one's for Veal Chop, my wife.
Awesome. All right. Well, I don't want to. The last thing I want to do is upset Veal Chop. I'll change the topic and I'll just forget this whole thing. Maybe I should change the topic to saying, hey, maybe it's time to end this this program that we do.
Charade.
Yeah. I want to end this week's show with a song, and I'm going to preface it with, this is a thing that I've been listening to right now, and I'm going to say in advance that you guys are going to hate it, and you're going to think it's awful. This borders on top 40. The only reason it's not top 40 is because this band is not popular enough yet, but it will be coming.
It's because they're not in the top 40.
Right, but it's top 40 style. It's top 40 style, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And this is something that that you guys are going to hate. That's it. That's really all I wanted to say about anything. Is that all right with you? Sorry.
No, I'm not sure yet.
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk. Thanks to Vanessa. Thanks to our prank caller. Thanks to all of you for being part of the show. Cocky Socks, Steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you next week. Peace.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars.
Look at me, look at me. Hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked-y. I can show you how to do-si-do. I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friends are platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book, and guess how long it took. I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone. On the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule. Of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all heal from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through